All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to NLA's weekly open forum. Today is Monday, December 8th, 2014. Let's see, we'll start off. I guess we're going to read, I think it's chapter 3 of Psalms. It's a short Psalms. Okay. Yeah, it's about eight lines. Lord, how are thy increased? How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people. All right, we're going to start off today with, we're going to read, it's only about, I think about 10 minutes long. I recorded this and I put it up on YouTube, and I cut it out and put it into an MP3 to play it. It's about eight minutes long, might be 10 minutes, I'm not sure, but it's not too long. I'm going to read the presentment that we filed down in New York City today. And we've confirmed that, I think we've confirmed that over 30 states have sent it out already. Everybody was supposed to have sent it out already, but some states, I guess, maybe are running late, or we just haven't heard word back from them confirming that they have sent out or not. But I think we have confirmation of a little over 30 states that have sent out all of their paperwork over the weekend, which means that they have been receiving it today, and they'll be receiving it tomorrow. And that means we've notified media. I have gotten word from quite a few people that they're seeing things all over the place, but I haven't heard anything about any major media reporting on it yet. So let me read. Again, this is a recording. It's about 8 minutes. Reading the presentment that we filed in New York City this morning. Again, going out by mail over the weekend. United States Common Law Grand Juries, a true bill under common law. Silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. U.S. versus Tweel. Filed via United States Postal Service to the Clerk of Court, Ruby Kajik, U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Pearl Street, New York. Action required under penalty of law. This is an official proceeding. Clerk is to file, and it is a felony to conceal or remove this document. Under law. Presentment under common law, a true bill by the people. Comes now we, the people of the common law grand jury, to present this true bill against Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo for criminal homicide. This presentment is being filed in the federal court as per Article 3, Section 2. Judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, whereas the victim was robbed of life by said officer under the color of law protected by the Fifth Amendment. Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land of naval or forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb,
nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against himself, nor deprived of life, liberty, or property, without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Homicide is not necessarily a crime. It is a necessary ingredient of the crime of murder and manslaughter. But there are other cases in which homicide may be committed without criminal intent, without criminal consequences, as where it is done in the lawful execution of a judicial sentence, in self-defense, or as the only possible means of arresting an escaping felon. The term homicide is neutral while it describes the act. It pronounces no judgment on its moral or legal quality. People versus Connors. Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo used a chokehold, a move banned by the police department, to bring Eric Garner down. The medical examiner's office determined that the chokehold, as well as compression to the chest, caused Mr. Garner's death and ruled it a homicide. Officer Pantaleo did not act in self-defense, and Eric Garner was not escaping prerequisites of non-criminal intent. Furthermore, literally just seconds after Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo decided to take Eric Garner down, four or five more Code Enforcement officers had arrived on the scene. In a few more seconds, there were at least nine Code Enforcement officers at the scene. There appeared no reason at that point for Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo to take down Eric Garner with a chokehold. Clearly, by the arrival of the other Code Enforcement officers, other possible means of arrest became available. Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo claimed he believed his life was in danger because he was caught between the fallen Eric Garner and the store window. This became a condition Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo created himself after his unlawful act. There simply was no reason for Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo to take down Eric Garner with a chokehold, because at the time, more than nine Code Enforcement officers had arrived and many other options were now available, including the possibility of Eric Garner cooperating. In conclusion, there was no reason to arrest Mr. Garner. The claim against him was a code infraction and not a violent act, and simply a summons should have been given to Mr. Garner, who would have then had the opportunity to challenge the accusation in a court of law. Therefore, it is clear to this unimpeded common law grand jury that there is enough evidence to bring a presentment against Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo for criminal homicide, whereas a trial jury, after hearing all the evidence, will decide his guilt or innocence and to what degree. This case continues under further investigation by the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, and we expect cooperation from all involved. Silence can only be equated with guilt when there is a duty to speak. All officers, elected and appointed officials, may not plead the fifth because they have been entrusted with certain authorities, and when questioned concerning those authorities, they have a duty to answer. Therefore, if they appear complicit with the homicide and remain silent, the grand jury will consider a presentment to be decided by a trial jury. There are many questions that we need to be answered, such as why CPR wasn't applied to the victim. There were many code enforcement officers who are all first responders and therefore trained in CPR, but why did they fail to perform the most basic life-saving techniques? Upon the arrival of the emergency medical technician, why did they fail to perform CPR? Mr. Garner was a large man, and if he was still alive while lying on the ground, movement of his chest should have been seen. There was none. Later confirmation by the medical examiner was that his death was caused by a chokehold, as well as compression to the chest. He may have been able to have been resuscitated. What was the time of death, and what time was Mr. Garner put into the ambulance? What role did the prosecutor play with a statutory grand jury? Clearly there was enough evidence for an indictment, and it was not the statutory grand jury's place to try the case, but just to determine if there was enough evidence to indict. It appears that the statutory grand jury was swayed by untried excuses by the accused and maybe others. A homicide deserves a trial unless there is a clear lack of criminal intent and self-defense was not evident at all. Any government that is its own judge of and determines authoritatively for the people what are its own powers over the people is an absolute government, of course. It has all the powers that it chooses to exercise. There is no other, or at least no more accurate, definition of despotism than this. Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury. This, unfortunately, is the present condition in every American courthouse. On the other hand, any people that judge of and determine authoritatively for the government what are their own liberties against the government, of course, retains all the liberties they wish to enjoy. And this is freedom. At least it is freedom to them, because although it may be theoretically imperfect, it nevertheless corresponds to their highest notions of freedom. Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury. This is the purpose of the common law grand jury that has taken America by storm. And it is because of this very despotism run rampant in both the state and federal courts, we the people have formed administrations for the common law grand jury in all 50 states, resolved to reinstate the Constitution for the United States of America and its all too long abused capstone Bill of Rights by reconstituting the same in all 3,134 American counties. Said corruption is defined in a writ quo warranto filed in every federal district court in America and served upon every federal district judge on November 10, 2014, in deafening silence. Whereas a copy can be found at nationallibertyalliance.org, breaking news. Therefore, in a show of unity and with a relentless determination to restore justice in America again, we the people of all 50 United States of America reiterate this presentment in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York against Code Enforcement Officer Pantaleo for criminal homicide. Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury.
Okay, just going back to the beginning of this presentment, I'd like to just read one more time, and this is critical. I think we, as acting as grand jurists from time to time until we get into the courts, after which time those of us who become administrators would no longer be able to act as grand jurists, with the exception of dealing with the major problems within our states for the first 30 days. But after that, we'll be restricted from doing that anymore because we will become the administrators for the common law grand juries, grand and trial, of course. And so the people for the grand jury and or for trial juries, of course, will be then pulled out of pools. Until then, we pull them out of pools within our own website here. We have quite a few people. The last presentment, we had just about 250 people show up for that presentment, and we took votes. I think we had 9 or 10 people that declined. So it was 240 people that said yay for going forward with this presentment. Now, some of those people, well, doesn't matter. I'd like to make this very important point, and this is a Peoples versus Connors, United States Supreme Court ruling, Peoples versus Connors, and they described a homicide. The homicide is the taking of a human life, and it could be criminal, it could be a negligence, criminal negligence, or it could be an accident, or it could be righteous. Okay, the question is that as grand jurists, we have to ask which it is. When it comes to a police officer, and by the way, if you took note in the papers that we kept referring to, quote-unquote, police, New York City police officers as code enforcement officers, because that's what they are. They work for a corporation. In the case of New York City, they work for the corporation of New York City. In the case of towns or cities or villages across the nation, they work for the corporation of those towns, cities, or villages. They work for the municipalities. The state works for the corporate state. They have incorporated our government at every level. I'm sure most people that visit with us and are part of us know that already, that they've incorporated every county. I heard that there are a couple of counties out there that didn't go along with this and have not been incorporated. Same thing with a few towns. But generally speaking, they have incorporated all of them. And the police force work for a private corporation. They serve the corporation. They do not serve the people. They're going to obey the corporation. They're going to serve the corporation and get the check from the corporation. That's why the sheriff is so important to we the people. The sheriff works for the people. He or she is elected by the people, and they are fired by the people. In the case of New York, they go up for election every 4 years. And so they're either maintained or they get rid of them, the sheriff or the whatever county it may be. And we wrote a paper on the sheriff, and it has grown. I think we're up to six pages right now, which really speaks about the duty of the sheriff and by what authority he is to act. We've got tremendous amounts of authorities in that particular paper, which we'll be posting soon, and it'll be one of our projects that we will want to get word out to all of the sheriffs. Anyway, someone's unmuted out there. Anyway, we'll release this paper this week sometime. We'll post it, and we'll read that next week. It's an extremely important paper, from my opinion. It's definitely something we want to get to the sheriffs before we file the next paper in the courts. Our target date for the next paper, well, I'm not going to say what the target date is. We have work to do before we file the next paper. We have the quo warranto that still needs to be circulated out there. We have this paper that needs to be circulated out there. There's something else that has come up that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes that needs to be circulated out there. There is, of course, the sheriff's paper that I just spoke about needs to be circulated. I haven't checked yet to make sure that every state has already made first contact with sheriffs by sending them the jurist handbooks and the constitutional handbooks and a short letter letting them know that we the people support them. We have been hearing good news back from sheriffs here or there throughout the states that they're interested in what we're saying and the message. I think they're coming to that point in time, trying to figure out what's going on and starting to realize, boy, there are some serious problems in our government. But in any event, back to this paper here, this presentment. I want to read this homicide. This is extremely important. We're going to do a paper on the proper mindset of grand jurists, because it's extremely important that not only do we act under principles, we're not governed by rules. We're not going to create rules. We've already created a system to run by principles. Honor, justice, and mercy is that principle. And everybody is to take that oath, which is something else we're going to talk a little bit about today. but or the vow. We call it a vow to God. And but it's extremely important that we follow these rules. And we have two maxims particularly. One is, for every injury, there must be a remedy. We cannot allow anything to go. It's a wrongdoing to know a wrongdoing was done and not address it and fix it. It's just an all-out wrongdoing. And so we have to do something about it. We can't let it go, no matter what. We have a lot of work ahead of us once we, the people, get into authority and power again. We have a lot of work. There's a lot of people in jail that don't belong there, a lot of people suffering, families destroyed, and we can go on and on and on. We have to pray for the wisdom to be able to bring justice back into our court systems. But it is the guidance of principles that will keep us. We make these points as often as possible. If we don't have these principles, we will lose, we will self-destroy, we will self-destruct, because once we leave the principles, which is the mind of God, these are godly principles, it's what Jefferson called the ancient principles. But once we leave these, then we have to be guided by what? Our minds. We have to be guided by rules. Men will start to take over and fall back into the same problem. So anyway, we're going to write a paper concerning the mindset. And there's another piece of information that we need to keep first and foremost, and that is the definition of homicide, particularly criminal homicide. Now, I'm going to read this short paragraph. It was in the presentment. I'm going to read it again. It's only a few lines. It is the case People versus Connors. And it says, homicide is not necessarily a crime. It is a necessary ingredient of the crime of murder and manslaughter. But there are other cases in which a homicide may be committed without criminal intent, without criminal consequences, as were it is done in the lawful execution of a judicial sentence, in self-defense, or as the only possible means of arresting an escaping felon. The term homicide is neutral. While it describes the act, it pronounces no judgment on its morals nor legal quality. People versus Connors. Okay, one of the two things that is extremely important here is, and in the case of the presentment that we just put, the two questions that need to be asked is, did this officer act in self-defense? Clearly, he wasn't being threatened. This guy wasn't too happy about what was going on. I think he sounded, if he had a good opinion, his opinion, I thought, was probably reasonable or righteous to some degree. But in any event, he wasn't threatening him. The second reason for potential homicide, which would not be a criminal offense, would be if there was an escaping felon. And in the process of trying to subdue an escaping felon and arrest them, and the person dies, that is also not criminal homicide. So those are the two guidelines we really need to think about. I'm not aware of any others, and we will search to see if there's any others, but this is the only two that I'm aware of concerning a police officer. Now, of course, we discussed the case on how there was the moment of his takedown, particularly with this case. There was at least 9 officers that have just arrived on the scene. This guy didn't try to take this guy down until the sirens were heard down the street and the cars were stopping. They couldn't make it all the way down. Apparently there was traffic jam, and they got out of their vehicles and they ran down the street. If you watch the video, you can see them running to the scene from down the street. And before you know it, if you start counting the officers, goodness, in just seconds, when this guy took this guy down, just seconds, 10 seconds, 5, there must have been at least 9, maybe 10 officers. Now, again, we refer to these people, all of them, as code enforcement officers. In this particular case, Eric had committed a code violation. It had something to do with taxes. Okay, that's a code violation. He didn't rob anybody. He didn't do anything violent. He didn't put a gun to someone's head. He didn't pull a knife on someone. He didn't threaten anybody. It was a code violation. Why would anybody want to be arrested for a code violation of any kind to be brought, put into handcuffs, to be taken down and fingerprinted and go through all that process without first due process. Due process requires that he doesn't have to answer anything. He didn't have to answer those policemen on that street because he didn't have to answer them anything. Fifth Amendment says so. Doesn't have to answer. Unless upon presentment or indictment. There's no presentment on this man. There was no indictment. And I'm making this point because this is a major problem that we have in our nation concerning these code enforcement officers. They're not law enforcement officers. They are code enforcement officers. The sheriff is a law enforcement officer. And again, I think our paper on the sheriff is going to make that clear when we release it. And again, we're probably going to read that next week. But the question comes in every case, was the person, well, let's get back to the code. First of all, they should have just gave this guy a ticket. They already knew who he was. I'm sure they even knew how to spell his name. I mean, goodness, just give the guy a ticket and leave him alone. Let him go to court and answer the summons. And he has his opportunity to fight it in court. Of course, the court is a setup and nobody wins. I mean, I'm sure everybody here knows you don't go to court and win. It's extremely rare when you go to court and you win because you have to know what you're doing. You have to put these people into positions where they feel their flesh is on the line. They feel nervous about you, and then they might let you then they might let you go. That's a win. Letting you go is a win. Other than that, everybody knows when you go to traffic court, you're guilty. Of course you're guilty. Everybody's guilty. Everybody pays. Just bring your check up. I don't even know why they go through the process. Just come in and tell us the price and let's move on. Because everyone's guilty. But you notice how they go through this ritual. Anybody goes to traffic court, and I'm sure everybody's been there. It's just a ritual. It's like it's just business going on. Same statements over and over again. You do understand the charges against you, blah, blah, blah. You plead guilty. All this garbage, you know. I mean, it's just nothing but a money-making machine. We know that. Okay, but this was a code violation. Absolutely no reason for him to arrest them to begin with. So, and this is the case in most cases. And I was very disturbed today. Someone sent me Gary sent me this on Skype. I just want to read this because I tell you what, we may want to consider another one. This is one that was released on Friday. Well, Friday or today. I think the date's in here. I think it was today. Today it was released that the grand jury came out with with no bill, okay? And there's two other cases. As I was looking up this information on the web today, I came upon two other cases recent where the prosecutor made the decision not to indict on two individuals that were killed. In one case, it was a police chief, whatever rank he was. He made the decision not to indict someone who died in the hands of code enforcement officers. They shouldn't even be carrying guns. They just need a ticket book. They don't need lights. They don't need sirens. They just need their ticket book. But anyway, I want to read this, and we're going to be talking about this behind the scenes, and then we're going to have a meeting come up to talk to see if we want to consider with another indictment. Again, this may be opportunity for us. Sad that someone had to die, but again, it's very interesting that these are coming up at this time, one back-to-back. Actually, three of them. The first one we didn't give much concern with because nobody really knows, you know. But here's another thing. If you go and read the stories on this case, particularly with Eric and this case that we just did the presentment on, these police officers come up with excuses. I was caught between the window and this guy, and this guy was so big, my life was in danger. I you know, that's why I did what I did. No, wait a second. Whoa. You put yourself into that situation. Okay, but they have these stories. We as grand jurists are not interested in stories. We should not consider story. A story has to be tried. You may have a good story. Look, that's a good story. Is it true? That's the question. How often have you went to argue with something and you knew what the truth was, and you listen to the other person's side of the argument, and you discover that this guy's got a pretty darn good argument, but he's wrong. He's twisting things. He's moving it this direction or that direction. He's not really saying it the way it was, but he had opportunity to speak, and he looks good. His position looks good, but you know the truth. It's not good. Well, therein is the grand jury. We're not here to go and try the case. We're not here to discover who's lying and who's not lying. Oh, this is a good story. He had a good reason to do this. No, that's not our job. That's not what the grand jury is for. The grand jury is to consider it, to look at the facts, consider the situation, and then consider whether it potentially is something that is a crime. That's the purpose of the grand jury. And clearly someone dying, we have to take a real strong look to make sure, you know, to see if this is a crime. There was the last case that we ignored where it appeared very clearly. I mean, if the story was true from what we heard and what we've seen, the cop's eye socket was crushed or broken. I think he was thrown or through a window or hit very hard. Oh, something with his car window in his car. And this guy was a big guy. And he ended up pursuing him or something. And then finally, when the confrontation came, this guy was a big guy. This cop had already been beaten up. So the story goes again. And there were no witnesses, to my knowledge, of claiming something any different than the story that was told. And there's injuries on the cop to show that this had taken place. And so what did he do? His life was in danger. He shot him. As grand jurist, there's no witness to say anything contrary to that. We're not to indict. Clearly, that was self-defense. Unless someone were to say, hey, wait a second, I was there looking out the second floor window, and let me tell you, this is what happened. And it was something else.
There was conflicting witnesses. They said that's why they didn't indict. There was conflicting reports. Now, I don't know. If there's conflicting reports, then they shouldn't indict, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
One guy said one thing, and the other guy said the exact opposite. They said, oh, well, we can't figure it out. But like you said, the grand jury's not supposed to figure it out. They're supposed to see if there's enough evidence there. And if somebody's making a sworn statement that he said this and he said that, one of them's lying or they're seriously mistaken. But that's for the trial jury. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, that was the point with this case. He may have a good story, but it's only a story. That video tells volumes, and people could take different. You know, you can really work hard to take his position, but I'll tell you what, his positions from what he did pull up didn't even hold water because, again, he shouldn't have been on the ground with the guy in the first place on a code violation. Now, here's one. And again, I just got this before, and I think this very particular one, I think we have to consider. And I'm just going to read a paragraph or two. In the case of Stephen Eugene Washington, nothing more. That's a different one. Hold on. Here it is. Just as in the case of Eric Garner, let me tell you something. This one got me. I was so pissed off when I saw this one. Okay. Just as in the case of Eric Garner, the police have said that being obese contributed. And that's another one. Who are these people? Well, he was a very heavy guy, you know, and he was held down and, you know, he was obese. And you know, so big deal. You shouldn't have been put into that condition. You shouldn't have been put into that situation. What does that have to do with the crime of beating this guy up? You know, but anyway, just the same thing contributed to this guy Saylor's death, making him more susceptible to breathing problems. They also added that having Down syndrome, this is a man with Down syndrome, okay, and clearly, you see the picture of this guy, clearly he's Down syndrome. I mean, you got to be a retard not to have seen that this guy had Down syndrome. And the guy, the way he would respond to the cops, come on, what are you going to beat this guy up for? Are you crazy? This is what they did. They killed this guy, by the way. So anyway, this guy having Down syndrome made him more susceptible to death. So they used his illness against him. Oh, he died because he had Down syndrome. They shouldn't have touched him.
They were pulling him out of the theater because he wanted to see the movie again.
Exactly. But
they should have left him there.
But there's more than that. There was a second story to this. Listen to this, because he had someone with him. Listen to this, okay? But they did not explain how. Once again, the police and prosecutors, having proven that there is no weapon, they will grasp at any explanation to explain why it is the victim's fault that they died from police brutality. a grand jury failed to indict Frederick County, Maryland police officer who asphyxiated Robert Ethan Saylor, an unarmed man with Down syndrome, after seeing a movie in January 20th, 2013. Saylor, 26, reportedly tried to go back into the theater while his caretaker left him to get the car. Three off-duty cops working as security guards apprehended Saylor and proceeded to restrain him in an ultimately fatal fashion. The officer said Saylor resisted arrest, but since Saylor's IQ was 40, it is unclear if he could comprehend their commands. Witnesses say his last words were, "It hurt, it hurt. Call my mom, call my mom." In March, a grand jury decided not to indict Officer Richard Rochford, Scott Jewell, and James Harris in Saylor's death. Look it, that's murder.
There's no shortage of these cases, John.
I know.
There's new evidence. There's new evidence in the one that the cop shot the kid with the BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the kid just recently? He had a BB gun.
That was another one I was looking at, yes.
And they shot him. Well, the doorman says, "Listen, I called up and I told them it was a BB gun. And when the officers came, we told them it was a BB gun." Because he said, I stopped him first. I said, "What do you got there?" He says, "It's a BB gun I just bought." He said, "Let me see it." He showed him the clip. And so he said he knew it was a BB gun. And the guy had an open bottle of wine. He said, "Look, I put the gun away, and you can't have that wine here. You have to leave." He said, "Somebody else called the police." He said, "He did not." He said, "But when the police came through the gate," because he's the gatekeeper, he said, "I told them that it was a fake gun." They had 27 cops, some of them with AR-15s. They shot 60 times at this kid.
Wow.
And they knew it was a BB gun. They were told it was a BB gun. So this is new evidence that just came out today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they have
witnesses. Yeah, and I didn't see that one, but I did see the story on the kid, and there was a 7-year-old girl. They broke into these people's apartment. They broke down the door, and this guy was sitting. I don't know whether it was his grandfather, her grandfather or her father. I forget the story. But the child was sitting behind the grandfather. Cops broke in. And they shot the 7-year-old girl. Then they claimed that, well, what they claimed is they broke through because they thought some assailant had went into that house, into that apartment. I mean, who are these people? Okay, shooting 7-year-old girls, 13-year-old, I think it was a boy, right? 13-year-old boy with a BB gun, and an individual with Down syndrome. And Down syndrome is very, you can see Down syndrome. You know, they have features. You know that they have a problem, that they don't understand half of what you're talking about. Some people have it less than others, but generally speaking, you know, some of them are pretty bad. And this guy had a high IQ of 40. And they must have acted pretty darn quick. I mean, the caretaker went to get the car. So anyway, look, these are serious problems. And these are all cases where clearly this is murder. They're getting away with murder everywhere. And one of them... one of these stories, it was not the grand jury, but the prosecutor who made the decision not to bring it to the grand jury, not to prosecute. Who are these people? You know, I realized from doing this research on the sheriff and putting together a paper, and again, it's 6 pages, I realized something when I was going through this. Gerard, remember when you and I went up to talk with the sheriff, and then we went to talk with the prosecutor, and the prosecutor, "I don't see no crime there." And we knew it was even in his books, and he just wasn't interested. But we really approached him in the wrong position. But we have to educate these people first. The bottom line is the sheriff, it is not the prosecutor's job to call for the grand jury. That's the sheriff's job. Why is it the sheriff's job? It's the sheriff's job because he's the only real law enforcement agent. Anyone else who makes arrest is making a citizen's arrest. And these people are making citizen's arrests, quote-unquote cops. These people are given guns and badges, and they go out and make citizen's arrests for code violations, putting everybody in jeopardy. Okay? But nevertheless, the sheriff is the only law enforcement agent. And when someone commits a felony, a crime that needs to be arrested, and you got to really look to see what a felony is. But, you know, they make a lot of these codes felonies. They're not felonies at all. You know, if you have a gun without a permit, that's a felony. Okay, that's a felony. I'm not sure about driving without insurance or driving without a license. You may know, Gerard, but that may be misdemeanors. But if you have so much marijuana on you, I think it's a misdemeanor. And if you have over an ounce or something, it's a felony or something. If you have a scale in the back of your car with no drugs at all, okay, you'll be arrested here in New York State as someone who's selling drugs, dope. And if you have too much cash on you, almost any place in the nation these days, you get stopped. They take your money away, and they say you're doing something illegal. But in any event, the sheriff is the guy that makes the arrest. Now, if it's a felon, okay, he has to make the arrest. And if he's making the arrest, he's got to get permission from the grand jury, and so he calls the jury. So it's the sheriff that calls the grand jury. And once we read this paper next week, we're going to talk a little bit about that, the sheriff calling the grand jury, not the prosecutor. How can the prosecutor decide not to call the grand jury, especially when someone was killed, when a life was taken? Who is this guy to make this decision for everyone else? And in these cases, to me, clearly the evidence says it was criminal homicide.
Well, if you're going to let the prosecutor do the plea bargain, then the next step is that's what they do. They decide not to prosecute. Because
right.
when he's plea bargaining, that's what he's doing. He's deciding not to prosecute on that charge.
And only so the grand jury can plea bargain. Grand jury.
You
the
know
grand
how that
jury.
Works.
Right, but this is the way it's going to be when we get in, because it's the way it's supposed to be. If the grand jury can make a compromise between the injured party, obviously you can't plea bargain a murder. Okay, but you know that's up because we don't. You have to get that into the courts and let the people figure this out.
Oh, come on, wait a minute.
But you know, when someone injured someone else, and the injured party is willing to settle without having to go to court, and the person who did the injury is willing to restore the person that they injured, why even bother with a case? Make the arrangements, get the contract, understanding the consequences of breaking that contract is immediately A, B, and C. Once they agree, there is no trial.
But
then
you
they
can't
agree.
Trust
or
normal people with these decisions. They're not smart
of course
enough
not.
To
especially
do that.
The people. I know, especially the people. You know, who
that's
they?
What
they,
they're
going
to tell you. But the real reason is they don't want to let go of the money, John. In other words... If the grand jury's made the deals, the prosecutor and the judges would lose control of those funds that they get for putting them in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's probably the bottom line there. Okay.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. As long as they get their claws into you, you become the dollar bill, and it doesn't matter what court they get you into. It's all about money. Okay. Well, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about this vow. It was brought to my attention that we probably should do this now, and I kind of agree with this. We'll be more specific. We'll put it in an email because I haven't thought about it and haven't spoken with other people to figure out how we'll do this or what we'll do. But anybody who is going to, that has taken the civics course, that is going to become an administrator, and they mark it off, which, by the way, let me just take a quick look up on the site. We have people taking a course. Let's see. These numbers are kind of backwards. I talked with the tech today. He's going to fix it. But anyway, total enrolled people in the course is 186 people have enrolled in this course so far. 117 of them, you know, check the box to become administrators. Administrators are four individuals for each county that are going to administrate for the common law grand juries, or juries, period, trial juries and grand juries. They will be the administrators for them. It's a full-time position. It's a regular job. We're taking this workload away from the prosecutors and the judges. They are not to taint the grand jury. The judge is not a judge. He's a magistrate. He shouldn't be telling the grand jury anything. It's not his job to talk to the grand jury, or to the trial jury, shall I say. And the prosecutor is a prosecutor. Both of these people work for the state. They are not to talk to the grand jury at all. unless we permit them to come in, of course, to tell the story. If they have if the government has a charge that they want to bring up against somebody, and it is a true charge as an injured party, because you don't have an injured party, take a hike, Mike.
Yeah, and if he's doing the investigation, if the prosecutors did the investigation to bring the charge,
right? He comes in.
He can come in and testify on what he found in the investigation. That's it.
He doesn't tell him about the law, how to explain it. He doesn't give the excuses, and we don't permit it. We will never, ever, ever. The grand jury should never be left alone in a room with a prosecutor or a judge. One administrator should be in all the time and prevent them from being violated. And we're going to talk about, we'll write papers on how what we want to look for, what we need to look for. But once they got the full story, even we don't belong in there any longer. We have to leave the room. We give them a phone number or whatever and say, hey, look, if you have any questions and you need any assistance, you want some interpretation or something, we'll try to get as much resources to show you so you can come to your conclusion, And our resources is literal, real law. I mean, we're talking United States Supreme Court court cases that are not repugnant to the Constitution itself, certain statutes that are acceptable as law because, it may be a commercial situation or it could be an individual who is a bureaucrat that's up on trial and they're under, because they're given certain authorities and certain powers, they are under certain restrictions. All of these people that are involved in this one crime that we're looking at, when we go to question them, if they refuse to, you cannot plead the fifth if you were acting under color of law. If you were acting under authority and you had a duty to speak and a duty to act, you cannot plead the fifth because you were acting under color of law. You were acting with a certain authority that was given to you by the people, and you have to answer. A non-answer is an automatic, well, we're going to have to send them into the court because they're going to have to go before the trial jury to figure it out what's going on because they don't want to talk to us. That's fine. And so this is how we have to start thinking. We have to put some of these things together so people understand, what is right and what is wrong and how to act upon it. Some of these things, like we have to understand what a homicide is and how it's explained, how it becomes a criminal act. Because, again, people get lost in the storytelling. We have to be very careful not to get lost in the storytelling, and we have to tell the grand jurors that are in the case before they hear the case, don't get lost in the storyteller. Remember, it's not for you to try the truth or the not the truth of the story. You're just looking at the facts and try to make the decision on whether there was a crime committed or not. And if there was a crime committed, even though someone's got a good story, forget the story. The story's irrelevant. That's not our business. That's the trial jury to hear the story because only there will the truth come out. Because someone else will bring up the opposite position, and the arguments will take place, and the truth will bear itself. Truth will always bear itself in discussion and argument. Just give it time. That's why the jury system is such a great system, and you got 12 people hearing it, and so on. But anyway, oaths. We are governed by principles. The oath is the principles that we take an oath to, a sense of honor, sense of justice, sense of mercy. Those people who have signed up to become administrators need to drop down the oath, get it signed with a notary. You can take it to a bank or wherever you want. You'll find it up on, right now it's on the administrator's page. No, it's not on the administrator's page. It's up on the jurist documents page. So you can download the vow there. Fill in your name, take it to the bank or to the wherever you have a notary, real estate agent, whoever, and get it notarized, make a copy, and email. I'll go through instruction. We'll find a special place where you can email it to. And it'll be posted on a private page where only the other administrators will see it. Right now, the grand jury administrator's page and whoever's taken the course, only the people taking the course can see that page. And it lists all the people that are taking the course and what percentage done they are and We have 8 people, by the way, that have completed the course already. So some people have really moved very quickly on it. It's a good job. And hopefully now they're going to get up there and continue their education. There's the Federalist Papers. They should jump right into those. There's a lot of great books up there, and we need to continually educate ourselves if this is the work that we're going to be planning on doing, you know, for our lives. But in any event, people need to take the oath. Nobody is permitted to become an administrator for the grand jury without taking the civics course and taking the oath. I think everybody agrees with this. We'll always get a few people who say, well, who are you? You know, that's we do what we want to do. Well, they can say that, but we're not going to let them, okay? Because it's a wrongdoing if you don't get yourself educated, okay? You have to get educated. You know, just get exposed to these things. And it's a continuum. We have a lot of educating to do, but this is the beginning, okay? And now, you know, we're under our own duty and our word and our honor to make sure we continue our education to be good administrators. You know, we'll be called upon certain things, and people with certain skills will have to be able to do certain things, which we'll get into some of those details at a later time. But everybody needs to be exposed to the true history, the true problem in our nation. What caused this problem? Why are we where we're at? Because this civics course covers that. How did we get here? How did we lose our way? What could we have done and not lose our way? What can we do now after we find our way back? What are we going to do to prevent ourselves from losing our way again? That's what the civics course is all about. It's American history. It's Constitution. It's common law. It's trial by jury. You know, it's documentaries that tell the story of how we got here. So it's a necessity. And an oath is a necessity. If you're not willing to take an oath, then you can't become an administrator. This is a vow. Excuse me, it's a vow. And some people will say, well, they can't just take a vow. It's against their religion. Well, the Bible is clear. God speaks about taking vows. Vows are good to take, but if you take a vow, you better keep it, God says. You don't take a vow to me and not keep it. Just don't you do it. God says that in the Bible. I mean, not the way I just said it, but you know, we have that on that vow. I believe we have it down on the bottom of the paper with the Bible, what God says about taking vows. So nobody should feel that they can't take it. And your vow is to God. It's a personal thing between you and God, and you're swearing to God that you're going to act in this job that's very important, that people's lives are in jeopardy over your decision making, that you will do the best you can to act in honor with justice and a sense of mercy. I promise. I swear. And so that's the rules. That's the guidelines. That's the principles that Jefferson was talking about. That's what will guide us, and that's what will keep us away from having to write rules to control us. We are controlled by principles. So we have to do that. The presentment. I don't know if I mentioned this. I heard there was 30-some-odd states that went out, but there could be more than that. That's just what I heard has reported in already. So hopefully we got more than that. But that means we have a little less than 20, maybe 15, 16, 17, something like that, states that haven't sent it out maybe, and hopefully they're getting it out today. We need it out. We have to get more efficient on getting it out. We all should have had this out on Friday or Saturday. Personally, I don't think there was any excuse, but, you know, I guess people could have some excuse. What do I know? But let's get it out today. If we haven't gotten it out today, get it out tomorrow. I want to hear that it's been done. We, the people, working hard to save this nation, we all have a duty, and we want to hear that it's been done by the leaders that are you know, the coordinators for our states. That's their job. If they don't want to take that job or that duty, then step aside and let someone else do it, but get the job done, okay? We still have 7 countries that want to join. I heard recently 2 more countries, but we already had both of them on the list, but just people from a different direction want to join. We cannot accommodate them. I'd love to accommodate them, we don't have the money to accommodate them. It costs money to add on each new group. I've already did all the research and quite some time ago with a lot of these countries, and most of them were already their countries were counties. They're broken up in counties. Great, so they got the same system. Most of them had the same system. There was some country in Africa that wasn't broken down that way, I believe. But most of these countries, they've got some background in common law already, you know. And they're already broken down in counties, which is what normally common law nations or countries are broken down in. But we have seven countries that want to join, and only if we can, you know, get more money up to be able to pay the bill for this can we do it. And so we always ask for $5. If everybody that is just a member gave $5 a month, we'd be swimming in money. Literally, there'd be so much we could do. But we only have a couple hundred people that actually give $5 or more a month. There's one person that gives quite a bit a month. And is most people give five, but some 10, 20, or 50, and then maybe a couple of give 100 from time to time. But it does pay the bills. We get through by the skin of our teeth. We make money on selling the books. And that goes into, you know, paying the bills. So, you know, we're just getting by. But we want to grow. We are growing. We're getting more and more broadband, getting more and more people. Our site analytics is really going through the roof. Not too fast, but constantly and consistently, every day, every day, every day. And that's the best way to grow. We don't want to grow in huge leaps and bounds because that could be unhealthy. You know, you can't control things. We want to maintain control. And what's the control we want to maintain? We want to maintain the teaching of the principles, not to get out of hand, not to bring it into a witch hunt. I'm angry too, but I control myself. You know, I'd like to see all these cops. I think they should all go to jail for life. That's what I want. But I got to control myself. I'm not on a witch hunt, and neither should you be. And we'll let the trial jury make the decision if it's necessary to send them in. And we're going to get other people to make this decision. We're just going to be the administrators for the process. And we're going to get the people who are the grand juries, jurists in their own counties to make these decisions. But anyway, what I'd like to say is this. We really do need $5 a month from people to really support ourselves. We have 186 people signed up on the course, and of the 186 people, there are 45 of them give on a monthly basis. The rest of them do not. I mean, you guys got a free course, and other people paid. You know, this cost quite a bit of money to get this course up here. I forget how many thousands of dollars, but it cost quite a few dollars, and other people, you know, gave extra money to get this up here. And now, of course, you know, we still have overhead and we're growing. But a lot of people have taken advantage of this course, and God bless them, they should. We don't want to charge one dime for anything because this is so important. We're not here to make money. But obviously it does take money to run things, so people should give a few bucks a month. $5 a month is about the taxes. We did the calculation on this. If you go to work every day and you buy coffee and donuts and a roll or something, a roll and a coffee throughout the week, $5 is just about the taxes you would have paid. It's pretty sad that it's that much money, but it does. It works out to be about that. $5 is about the taxes you pay on a weekly basis for your roll and coffee in the morning, or a donut or whatever it is that you have, if you have anything. Almost everybody can afford $5. I know there are certain people that are on very tight incomes, Social Security or whatever, and we definitely do not expect them to be giving us their money. But most people are not the case. So if you can afford $5, it would really be appreciated. It will really, you know, say this is where you believe things working and where it belongs, and you're behind us. And so when you give us that $5 a month, it's saying that we really are supporting you. And it's not a lot of money. And like I said, some people give 10, 20, or even 50 or 100, but very few give 50 or 100. But again, $5 is all we're asking. Free, we give the free course, you know, We got so much stuff. We got other free stuff up here that's not set up in a course, and we're going to be doing instructional videos. We've already started some of them. We just haven't posted them. We're doing instructional videos, and we're deeply and diligently working to save this nation. All of us are. So let's support also financially, because I don't want to call us an organization. I don't want to call us a group, because we're not an organization. We are not a group. And I always struggle with what to call us. And, of course, the best thing to say is we're the people. And that is true. And National Liberty Alliance is a facilitator. We facilitate a place to learn, a place to become educated, a place to gather, a place to grow, a place for us to organize, a place to communicate. Okay? That's what National Liberty Alliance is. Nothing more than that. And it'll never become any more than that. During the process, of course, we're taking it through the process to get into the courts, and we have a plan, and you signed up to common law, to National Liberty Alliance, because you agree with the plan, and the plan has been executed by research. We have researched what way to do, how to go. Now, we have to make decisions as we go along, but nevertheless, there's process and procedure, and that's what we're doing. And there's also principles. We don't do that which is expedient. We do that which is principled. Again, there's a lot of things that have come up to us, and it could be expedient to go this way. Wow, let's wait. But we have to compromise a principle or two to go the expedient way. So we say, no, we're not going to do it. No, we're going to go the principled way. It's a more difficult way. It requires more control of ourselves to go the principled way. So it builds character, and we then act from a position of honor at all times. We never broke the principles to get to a certain level or a certain place. And we believe, of course, because of that, God will bless the efforts that we have taken, which is by God's mercy to save this nation, which is in serious, serious trouble. And I do not think there's much time. I do want to say that I do believe that in the next 30 days, big things are going to happen. We're going to be getting in, I believe. We're very close to it, but big things are going to happen. I can tell you that. Exactly what it is, I can't say for numerous reasons. Number one, we're not going to expose the plan we have. Number two, the big things could be A, B, C, or D. There's a few things. It could go any way. It's got to go one of them, though. Definitely has got to go one of those ways. And any one of those ways is a move that we made happen. And our site, of course, is on the courthouse. The site is for the people to get back control of their nation, of their countries. We're 50 countries in our nation. We want control. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for them. We want our nation back. We want our countries back. Well, we need to put the servant back under control. And so that's why we're here. That's what we're doing. Okay. I guess that covers everything. We'll open up for conversations, questions, comments. And again, it is extremely important that people come to these Monday night meetings. It is extremely important that you participate with your state meetings. They shouldn't go any more than maybe 15 minutes to a half hour, whatever it is, to get off the business that they got to get out, and maybe just to reiterate what we're talking about on Mondays, or what we're doing as a people across the nation, to remind the people to get to the Monday night calls. But the state meetings is not for educating. Okay, you can break away into groups and work together, educating in common law, working through what we've put up there, listening to the lectures and going through that for Bill Thornton, or doing the Constitution. We know of one person that goes around and teaches the Constitution. They give their own lectures and talks, and that's good. You should be going to that, absolutely. But our meetings are not for that per se. Our meetings are for an NLA business and NLA focus. We're not here to talk about anything outside of NLA business because people joined up for that purpose. And we get a lot of complaints sometimes from people saying, why do I have to listen to all this stuff? I get all this email about this or that. Or I go to the meeting and they're talking about commercial law. They're talking about, it's not what I'm here for. And they're right. It's not what they're here for. NLA business is for NLA business. If you break off into groups on your own to discuss other things outside, that's your business. You can do whatever you want. God bless you. But don't burden people with things that they're not here for. They're here to save the nation. And NLA business is streamlined and focused on that one point. We talk a little bit about the fiction only to expose it, not to teach you how to go and become a man on the land or any of those things. It's not what we do. That's not what anyone should be teaching people to do. But if you all want to get together and talk about it because you're like-minded someplace else, I think you're wasting your time because all that fiction is going to go away. It's fraud. Fraud can't stand. We can't permit it. It's a wrongdoing. We must shut it down. We must put it out. We must get rid of it. We're not going to live with it. We're not going to accept it. I'm quite disturbed that the United States Supreme Court permits fraud to continue because they know it's there. They rule on jurisdiction. I understand why they make the rulings the way they do sometimes. I understand the jurisdiction they're speaking in. Most of their cases are cases coming out of the equity side of the court, which is really fiction. Okay, so they're ruling on those jurisdictions. And of course you don't have standing. Of course you don't. I'm not going to go into those courts. But anyway, why do they rule on this? Why don't they expose the fraud? You know, is it because they were trained as lawyers? Are they too entrenched in this themselves? Is there a gun to their head? Well, all those people out there that have a gun to your head, you got a lifeline. It's out there right now. You can grab onto it, and we're throwing the real big one soon, and it's time to grab on. And we're going to know who the real people in our government are that wants to save liberty, save America, who believes in what we believe in, and life and liberty, and common law and not the law of men. So, but anyway, Monday meetings are extremely important. Even if you can't stay, you know, the first hour or so, which is we lay things out and talk about what's going on, keep people up to date. And if people have to go to sleep, fine. You always download the rest of it anyway later. But now it's time for questions. People have questions or they have comments, and there's a lot of interesting things that go there too. And again, but if you have to leave at that point, at least you got the first hour. But you got a whole week to listen to the rest of the other 2 hours. You should listen to it all. I've had some people tell me that the Monday night meetings are a waste of time. Well, they don't understand what we're doing then. They haven't been paying attention. Okay? If this is a waste of time, we get quite a few people coming here, so I think a lot of people know it's not a waste of time. And we are making moves, and we are doing things, and we are growing, and we are learning. But people have some excuses because they want to do something else, and that's why they make those excuses. But they should just go do something else. Be honorable. Don't try to rob the membership of NLA. Just be honorable. Go do something else and get some people together. But don't trick people in one movement to come to another one, if we want to call ourselves a movement. I don't know. I always struggle to look for what we will call ourselves, and again, I always end up with just with the people. And at the end of our focus, you're going to be the people in your county doing the business of the people, unrestrained but by the restrictions of principles, I hope by God's mercy, by principles. Okay, let's open up for conversation. Colorado Max, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Good evening, John. A couple of things. I put myself in the press's shoes, and I went onto the website. And if this starts hitting the press hard, they're going to need a very easy way to get contact information for you or Gerard or whoever you have designated to start probably doing interviews or arrange interviews. So there's no easy way right now that I can see. If I just went right into the area where the breaking news is for the common law, the 50 common law grand juries filing presentments, I see no easy way to contact someone to talk to for interviews, okay?
Right. Well, here's the thing. We'll go on to radio, for instance, and speak. We're not there for, we'll speak only to people who really want to hear what's going on and how to do what we're doing and how to get involved. But if it's the press like ABC, Fox News, CNN, all those people, they're here to assault and attack us, and we're not going to give them a target. We're trying to figure out how we can accommodate information. We do have some journalists amongst us, and so I'll talk with Sheila maybe to talk with some of those journalists and see if any of those want to take the lead for us as an in-between. You know, to get to write something up and to give stories out and to release information. But you see, to come talk to directly to us, because we do have the right to say, well, look, at we're grand jurists. You know, we can't. We've already spoken. What we've spoken is right there in the paper. Read the paper. But I hear what you're saying, and we do. It is a dilemma, but it's time for people to grow up, and it's time for. And I do know that most people don't read; they get lost on a sentence or two, and then they go into whatever. But those who do read, they will read, and we just got to get the reading material before them.
What we do write is
understandable and can be appreciated by most people. This is not deep stuff, but. You see, we cannot put ourselves in it because they're going to be looking for a target. They're going to look for someone to destroy, and they're going to kill the messenger in order to kill the message. And they'll turn the away from the message and get to the messenger. So we have to be careful with that. But you're right. We do have to figure out. We have to pray for wisdom on this, figure this out. But Gerard, go ahead. You were going to say something?
Yeah, didn't we say that we were going to pick a media person and we
yes.
would just tell the media that this person has the exclusive? And so
right.
they would contact that person, and they could ask them any questions they want, and then we would funnel it back through them. That way there's not a direct link there, because that's what they want to do. They want to get you to stick your foot in your mouth when they stick a mic under your, mouth. I mean, even in court, Bill Thornton says, don't say anything in court because that's how they get you. We're going to be very careful and measured in our responses. And I discovered with the press myself when I was in politics, the best thing to do is give them a written reply because they can't take it out of context. Once you write it down, they have to quote exactly what you wrote. They can't give their opinion. They have to quote it verbatim. And that's the best way not to get into that trap.
Right.
Okay,
so
well,
we do have some journalists, and we will. You're really pushing us to the point that we should have been thinking a little more about this. And we need to be thinking about it now, and we will try to we'll approach those journalists to see which one of those is going to stand up and take the lead on that. But go ahead.
And even if you had a tab under media that said, for media requests, you know what I'm saying? It's just something to point somewhere.
Right. Well, one of the things we do want to do, and remember, we the people have been trained as very well-controlled lab rats we're slaves, man. We really are. And this has been true for a long, long time. You know, newspapers are written at a third-grade level. Now, when I say a third-grade level, I don't mean the literal third grade, because the ratings, the way they have it, the highest grade level is really the ninth grade, and that is the highest level. So that's really where the numbers go through. But they're written on a third-grade level, and they want to keep us that way. They've trained us to read highlights, and then now for the rest of the story, go to page 8. Most people don't go to page 8. They're just in for the highlights, you see. They've trained us that way. And so now we have to break that. We have to get people to read the papers. They have to become educated. Now I know everyone. It's not going to happen with everybody. I know that. But we do want to push for the minority of people that are willing to do that, that are interested, that can become interested, to get them to really read and see how easy it is to understand what it is that we're talking about and what common law really is and what the self-governing really is. So we want to get that out. And so we want to put it out that way so people can come in and digest it. But also, you're right, we have to have for the other people who aren't prepared. One of the plans we need to talk about as time goes on is to get into the schools to make sure our children are educated and set the school system back straight, give it back to the people, because it doesn't belong to centralized government. to control our education, because they're really controlling our minds. And so we got the, it's hard to figure out, but we do have to figure it out, and you're right, we do need a contact.
Okay. The other thing is, a lot, I've talked to a few people, and a lot of us are still stuck with technical problems on the course at different spots. So I'm not sure why some people are able to progress, if maybe they're using, like I use Linux and Firefox, but yet I've also tried it on Windows with Internet Explorer, and it's still, I'm stuck in the same spot no matter what.
Okay. What you need to do, let me tell you, for all the people that are in the course that are having this problem, please keep a record of your problems wherever you run into a problem. You might find a way to get through it, then write down how you got through it. This is what's going to be helpful to us. We're very close to having all the problems fixed, and a lot of the problems you've experienced in the past has already been fixed now. But there are people still having problems, and we're not sure exactly. We have to fix those problems, but we have to know about them in order to fix them. So, you know, write down, it's very specific. You know, I was watching this video on number three, and these was however it is defined, because I forget how we broke it down. You have to be very specific, and then get that to Kathleen. Kathleen is then funneling it through, so we don't, inundate the text. Well, Kathleen will get it, and she may get the same report five times, but we're only going to tell the tech once, okay? But if later on it's still reported, I'll talk with her. Well, she's listening. She should keep a record. And if that is reported again, check to see, well, did this just happen? Because I thought we fixed this. We'll then get back to the tech with that problem. Maybe something else has happened now. Until we get through the text with this. Now, the reason why some people got through is because they figured out what the problem was. It could be that not necessarily that there was a misspelling on the side on the that you're reading, but the answer bank on the other side may have been misspelled, and that's what may be hooking you. Okay, and I'm sure there's a couple other reasons that this could be hooking up on, but I think that might be the major problem. So what the guy should have done was cut and paste the answers instead of typing them. He may have just typed them in, and then he made some errors in typing. So that's probably what happened.
Yeah, well, I've been cut and pasting. I mean, I did what you said. I said screenshots, I did this. And the people I talked to, I told them, look, you need to send a screenshot of where you're at in the course so they know what question you're on and they know that your answers are right and they know where to go look. So I am advising people to do that, but I'm just saying, a lot of us are chomping at the bit to get this done, and I know you guys are working on it, but we sure could get some stuff fixed and get going here.
I agree. So get to Kathleen, and Kathleen will get to the tech, and we'll take it from there. We'll do the best we can. We should have realized that this was going to happen. Now that it has happened, this really isn't a surprise. Of course, that's everything works that way. It's called beta. But so you guys that are in the beginning here are really the people, testing out the course. So.
And one thing, John, I would like to just, I've been putting that press release out on all my Facebook groups, and I actually created a Twitter account a couple of days ago, and I started tweeting people with it.
Great.
I mean, I'm trying to get out everywhere I can, and everybody needs to do it. If you're tweeting to some big name person, like a Mark Levin or a Glenn Beck or whoever, if they start seeing, hundreds of these, they might actually take a look at it, okay?
Right. Now, Let's think about this. Think about the news media, especially the ones we think are friendly. Think about those people who are making a big deal about this case, okay? Glenn Beck, I heard, was making a huge deal about this case. Alex Jones, I heard, was making a huge deal about this case. Let's get the things to them. Let's see what they do with it. Okay, because this will tell us where the rubber meets the road and what's really in their mind. Either they're frightened to report the truth concerning what we're doing because we're so close to the game here, so to speak, or they're that dumb. Okay, at least it'll reveal something to us. Now we have the media campaign group. Please, everybody should you should join up if you can, but everybody should visit the page and read some of the stuff over there, get ideas on how to tweet, what to tweet, emailing. all kinds of ideas. This is what they're there for, to discuss these things. If you want to participate in the discussions, then you click join the media campaign group. If you're just going over there to do your duty, let me repeat, to do your duty, it's your duty to get the word out, because that's how we're going to win this thing, is getting the word out. So if you're over there every morning for 5 minutes just to read around and say, okay, that's a good idea, I'm going to do that one today. And you spend 5-10 minutes doing that one, whether it's sending out emails, sending out tweets, putting something on Facebook, posting something on your blog, or posting something to another blogger, or whatever it is, okay? Just do something, 10 minutes a day at least. Go over and spend a few minutes reading, finding ideas, and then doing it. And if you want to get involved in, into the program, you know, join the campaign group and get involved and put your ideas up there. One other thing I want to take opportunity while we're talking about, most people should know, we have a courtroom observers group now on our website. And there's a form up there. If you got a case and you want to get help at the case, you can join. Now, membership is starting to grow pretty quick over there. That's good news. Okay. Bear in mind, we're a little new. Eric's going to be probably another week before he's really settled in here. And got everything under control so that we can really start moving there. But if you got a court case going on and you don't join, and 2 months from now you need people and help in the court and you come in to ask for help, well, shame on you if you haven't been in there for the past 2 months. You should be helping other people because you know you're going to need help. And all of us should think that way anyway. You know, we should all join into this group, every single one of us, and we should try to get to a court case. I mean, I know you got to work and so on and so forth, but a court case may come up and you just may have off work that day and you may have the opportunity to go and sit in the courtroom and help somebody because it's not that far of a trip to get to it. Maybe you want to learn. That's where you learn. Go to the courtroom. We have to help each other in the courtroom. This is where we're going to have strength. And I want to tell you, it's working. There are some things happening. You need to know, go out there to see what's going on, because there are big things happening in different places. One of the biggest places, a lot of big things are happening down in New York City, believe it or not, because they're so active down there. I mean, they're really active now, finally getting into the courts, doing things, and holding these judges, liable, man. You know, this is holding their feet to the fire. So we need to do that everywhere. And there's nothing more than being able to, more powerful than to walk into a courtroom and you have 3 or 4 people come in there with cameras set up, recording devices. They all got the tags on, courtroom observer, and dress reasonably decent. There's a dress code. And they're in there and they're taking notes and they get the cameras rolling. Boy, is that intimidating to the judge, and that's what we're there for. We're intimidating him, damn it, to give justice. That's what we're intimidating to do, and if that's what it takes, then that's what we got to do. People got to get involved. Important to join those two groups. So, anyway, go ahead.
One more thing. You said that a private attorney general was going to file those papers. Did that happen?
No, we're going to get a private attorney general to prosecute that case. I already spoke to someone who is the perfect person down in New York City to take on the foremanship of the New York grand jury for this particular case. And they're local. They understand the game. They know a lot of the judges. They already know all the criminal things that are going on. So they accepted the position as foreman for this case, this presentment, because we have a lot of investigating to do. And, okay. You know, other people may need to be held accountable. So we need to ask questions. I want to tell you something. If that man died at a certain time and he went into the back of that ambulance at a certain time and nobody performed CPR, which they didn't, why not? What the heck is going on here? You see, people have to be held accountable. Now, there may not be jail time for that person. I have no idea what the jury would do with that person. But nevertheless, there's got to be a consequence. They had a duty. You know, they had a duty to do something. They were trained in these things, and they had a duty. You know, all those other cops that were there that didn't stop this other cop, they have to answer to that. You know, they really do. They have to answer. So we need an investigation because we can't leave it go. Also, this guy that videotaped, I understand, was indicted, but I don't know, they planted something on him or did something. I don't know what the story is, and who knows what's going on there. But I think we need to look into that, you know, because it's part of this case.
And one more thing. So will the private attorney general follow up on to make sure that the filing happened, or is that
the private attorney general is there only for to become the prosecutor. We can't let a bar prosecutor down there in New York City prosecute this case.
My question is, if we've got to make sure this gets recorded right and gets
that's
a number.
That's our job to make sure that happens, yes. That's why we're pressing the press to make sure that this happens, and that's why we wrote in there that there's an investigation going on. We have lots of questions, and that's why we got someone down there that is going to take on being the foreman, and they got a voice. They're not afraid of judges. They speak their piece, and they know what's going on down there. So we got the right person for that job. Who will be the foreman of the grand jury?
I'm just trying to understand the process. So the foreman will be following up with the court just to make sure it gets filed and not ignored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We will be. We had someone go down to today, or they were going to try. If they didn't, they'll go tomorrow. I haven't heard back yet. But to take a physical copy for New York, a sealed copy, to take it physically to the federal court, to file it with the federal court, and get a stamped copy to take back and get back to us. So we went that far here in New York to make the physical, to get that file print on it, okay? And we're putting the pressure on them. That's why we did all the news medias. You know, there's 112 mailings for each state. 111 of those mailings was to the news medias, okay? Also what we're doing here, that's why people have to get into the campaign program, get out their emails, send people to the videos, send Facebook or tweet, whatever it is, just do it. You see, this is what's getting the word out there. When the pressure comes on, they can't hide. They got to push the paper through. As much as they don't want to do it, they got to push it through. And guess what? That's a leverage in at that point.
So John, I can say if I'm talking to a friendly radio talk show host or a friendly media person, I can say with authority that the papers have been filed.
Oh, absolutely. They've been filed. Absolutely. We know at least 32 or 34 states that have filed over the weekend. Now, some of those states may not hit till Tuesday morning, but I don't know about that. If they sent it by Saturday, they all should have been hitting Monday morning today. They should have had them today. So they have been filed. At least 30 filings have taken place today.
We sent ours Friday night, I think. We went
so there
all.
You go. You guys, definitely you've been filed today. You're in. And we're getting a receipt. We're trying to get a receipt. We're going to see what they're going to do and not prevent if they refuse to give us the receipt. But look at everybody out there that listens to Glenn Beck, everybody out there that listens to Jones, get a copy of this to them with the quo warranto and say, hey, what's up, guys? What's going on? You guys making a big stink. Finally, the people are stepping up. Are you going to be behind the people? What's up, guys? You know, let's hold their feet to the fire.
Right, and then you've got a file stamp
I do not have confirmation of that yet, but that was the plan today. Okay. Whether it's been gotten, I haven't heard yet.
Did you maybe send an email out when that happens so we all know?
Oh yeah, I'll get a picture out too. I'll put it up on the web.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, we took up so much time. I just had a lot of questions. I think I'm done.
Yeah, Gerard's not doing his job today. He never does it.
You can't do it. You know, I tried to stop you three times. You guys talk right over. You don't even hear me.
Oh, stop it.
Look at the grand jury. Technically, the grand jury, we've already indicted. Yeah. The investigation will be done at the trial jury stage. Because we've already looked at it and said there's enough evidence to indict. Now, somebody has to investigate all these other questions. We've already decided as a group we're going to indict on this case. Is that not
true? Oh, yeah, the indictment is done.
The indictment's done. So the investigation...
Well, let's call it a presentment, which people understand as an indictment, because we did it.
So,
a presentment is the same as an indictment. You know that. And we need to train people in that language. So what I say is that it's been presented, or we did a presentment, and then I usually use the word indictment because they understand that.
So that private attorney general that we pick, and we have to make sure that they, that the judge says, you know, that we get that okayed, will be like the prosecutor. Will print.
Well, I don't think we're going to get okayed by the judge. He doesn't okay nothing.
Well, you know what I'm saying. They got to let that person into the way that they do private attorney generals is they do bequeath it on a person. I don't know if it comes out of the federal court within their statutory thing. You know, we're going to be fighting their, you know, if they may feel such pressure that they go ahead and they yield to us, but when they yield, they're going to yield in a statutory way. We're going to have to dance this dance with them.
Oh, yeah, we have to be very careful.
Correct
their language as we go.
Right, and so we want to make sure that we get that private attorney general who will act somewhat as the prosecutor.
Well, we do have one. Who
yes,
is registered with the federal court system already,
right,
acknowledged as one, and I think it'd be extremely interesting if he would take this job on.
Yeah, well, that we'll have to roll with the punches and see how it goes,
yes,
just so everybody knows kind of what the plan is here, that these are the things that we're discussing. And so we have some very qualified people to push this case forward.
Right.
And certain people down there can become investigators because there needs to be more investigation. There needs to be more names, maybe more indictments on more people. You know what I mean? So it's not going to be done yet because, like we said, there were other officers that were there that didn't do anything. There were first responders that I don't think they did act in the proper way, what I saw. So the case is definitely not over in as far as more indictments may be coming down on more people, just so everybody knows. It's not that cut and dried yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay, go ahead. I don't want to be the one taking up time.
Yeah, keep me moving along here, Governor. Okay?
Yeah, let's go. It's 10:40 already.
Yeah, I know. Okay, thanks, Max. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to our next caller here, Johnny B. Go ahead, Ed. Johnny B. Kansas.
Hey, I'm coming. I'm just trying to get all the buttons pushed.
Oh, you weren't snoring, were you, Johnny B?
Oh, no, not at all, man. Shoot, you've got my rapt attention just about every call. It's got to hit 10:30, 11 o'clock before I start nodding. Kansas will be in the mail in the morning, John.
Okay,
I was going
let's great get Kansas
Thursday night. Yeah. I was getting Kansas out Thursday night, and the brakes got thrown on, saying that I had to wait on paperwork.
Uh-huh.
And I already had plans Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I worked on a little bit Saturday night, but I was toasted from a two-day stretch.
All right,
Sunday,
we'll just get it out tomorrow. We'll count on
together. It's rolling. Now, I work from home. I got a little Walmart special printer. And it took me, 3 and a partial cartridges at about $16 a pop just to print the paper.
Okay.
And that's not counting the color.
Right.
Plus
the toner
paper,
is the most expensive part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the toner is the most expensive part. And, you know, I'll talk with Gary because he works for HP and he knows about printers and stuff. And we'll talk to him about people should be considering when they go to buy the next printer to get something that we can really operate more effectively, economically. Gary, if you're here, you can unmute yourself maybe and pipe in if there's anything you want to share in this. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had a pretty good conversation over the last couple of days. He got me all lined out. And got me a lot better operating system to do the paperwork, get the paperwork pulled together.
Right.
Now, the wife and I have been sending you money since we got started, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like the second month. We're popping in $20 a month. $30.
Right. Yeah, there are people that are sending it through the mail, correct.
Right.
I usually slip a button, but I haven't been doing that for a while. But I've got a whole list of names that I should go out and double check and flip. I'll get my son maybe on that and flip a button, because anybody who's given money through the mail, they're not going to show up as a premier member. And so I have to,
and I'm not,
flip
you know,
a button. This, but no. The thing is I think people should be recognized the difference between those people who are really, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak. But they're supporting the movement, and it only takes $5 a month. And for those given 20, God bless them, because that helps. It really does. Let me tell you. But $5 a month helps. Let me tell you. You know, there's a lot of $5 that come in here, and it does pay bills. So, you know, that's what we need. But we'd like to pay more bills. We want to grow and make ourselves bigger and get more broadband and pay, you know, the necessary cost to get the new groups in from different countries. And believe me, that's gonna help us to go worldwide. I mean, there'll be kind of a separation between us, because we all do something a little different, and each country is going to have to get their own leader. And, of course, they're welcome to come listen into this program if the time works for them, or they can download them. But they're all going to have to get someone in the country that really understands how things work where they live and lead them. But, you know, we'll push them to make sure that they go forward with principles, because that's what's going to get us through, is the principles. Ruled by principles, not by the rules of men.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I got a couple other things. I tried to get a hold of you Friday. You know, okay. Kansas, we're limping along, but we do pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If we get into much more of the mailings and stuff, we might need a little assistance. I don't know.
Well, there's something you got to know about me.
We need to have a conversation.
There's something you got to know about me. Friday night is pizza night. So we make pizza here in my house on Friday night, my son and I both. And what I usually do is Friday nights for the past few months now, I've been just taking off. When I leave my computer, I go to dinner, and that's it. I spend that night with the family. And then I'm back Saturday. So I hadn't been doing that for a long time. I've been working 7 days a week, literally, you know. I can say 24 hours a day, because I dream this stuff, too, and I wake up with ideas and thoughts. So obviously I've been thinking about it all night, you know.
Sure, you got a tablet next to your bedside there?
Absolutely, I got a recorder.
There you go. Hey, that's what I got to do, get my voice recorder.
I'm only kidding, but I do have a recorder. I probably should stick it next to my bed. No, actually, I should stick one in the bathroom when I take my shower, because that's when I guess it's relaxing, the hot shower. That's when it percolates up and I have the epiphanies. And I take the soap and I got to write it on the wall.
Okay, that's enough of that. Listen, one thing we don't want to do is get our wives together, because they'll really plot against us. Look, this guy got his recorder by his bed. He's 24/7. I don't know. We're all the same.
Yeah, man, no problem there, Gerard. You jumped right in there, buddy. Okay, yeah. John. Now, shit, I lost that one. Okay, let's keep on going. You asked us to call you Friday for if we was having funding issues, but I'm not raising the funding issue here. We're doing pretty good. We're all right.
Okay.
But I do need to talk to you.
Okay. Well,
and
tomorrow.
Set it up for Friday.
Okay. It's a crapshoot sometimes to get me. I mean, I'm usually here all day long, but I do have appointments that I have to go to here and there. Tomorrow I have my own doctor's appointment. And, so I'll be gone, you know, for an hour and a half to get there and get back home. So I won't be at my computer. But generally speaking, I'm at my computer. But I have been writing a lot. And again, when I'm really deep in writing, I just shut the bell. I don't hear nothing, because I want to get the writing down. And but generally speaking, I do try to answer. I really do. And I'll do better.
Well, give me a time. Pick a day.
Well, tomorrow late afternoon is good. I should be around most of the day Wednesday. I got things at night going on, so we got a radio thing Wednesday night, another radio interview Thursday night. But during the day, it seems to be pretty open right now.
Okay.
Those 2 days.
Let's shoot for Wednesday. I got things to do tomorrow. My last issue, and then I'll let somebody else take the chair. On the civics course. I am bee holes and elbows out here, and I haven't been able to get back to it, but I had an issue with it. We had somebody came up with the idea to put the title of the quiz into the search box, and they got the correct answer bank, but they also got the correct answers. Can we fix that so that they can't kind of peek
okay,
in the back of the book?
Okay, yeah, Kathleen, are you hearing this? Calling Kathleen.
That's where I stopped. I wasn't going any further in that quiz.
I hear everybody hitting their keyboards real quick. Let's get this test done.
Let's get it done.
Now, that was the switch that Brian...
What was that, Kathleen?
The switch that Brian opened. He took care of that.
He took care of that? Great. Okay.
Okay. Good deal. All right. How about the...
Yeah.
And
no one should cheat, because remember, we're under honor, and we're going to take oaths, we're going to take vows to God, and look at the test is look at it. It doesn't take much to get through the test. The key thing to taking, the reason for the test is to really make sure people go through this thing, and it's just being exposed. All learning is exposure. That's what it's all about. Okay, learning at your own speed, absorbing at your own speed, just be exposed. The more exposure, the more absorption. It's that simple.
Right. And it used to be before the Europeans arrived, pretty much everything was done on word. They didn't have to write it down. Their word was their bond, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time they actually had to write it down was when they called together several different families. They called the nations together, that's when they wrote it down. But any personal contract was just spit in the hand and shake on it, and everybody knew where the contract was at. I guess
hey,
that's it.
Anything else?
Thanks a lot, John. Forward to the next one, and I'm ready to go with that sheriff's letter. I'm already going to send that out.
Yeah, let me tell you, this next sheriff's one coming up, okay, is it. I mean, we worked really hard on this. And as a matter of fact, let me think about this. I may post this tomorrow, okay? And we're not ready to go out with it yet. It is kind of done, but I want to post it prematurely so that people can read it. And if you got other authorities that I missed that you can send me, we'll add to it. We'll make it longer and bigger. Because everything we're talking to this sheriff, it's about authority. What is his authority? What is his duty? He is the law enforcement agent. He can arrest the president of the United States if he's in his county. He can arrest the governor in his state if he breaks the law without any worry of any repercussions against him. He called not the prosecutor, he calls the grand jury. And so he calls to the administrators, I need a grand jury, and we have to accommodate him quickly. And if he's got someone in custody, we have to accommodate him quickly, because nobody can be held to answer. Fifth Amendment, read it. You cannot be held to answer on a crime unless under an indictment or a presentment by a grand jury. So that means if we don't have a grand jury in session, and maybe we can't get one in session for 3 or 4 days, but Orange County next door, or Ulster County next door, has one in session, we can send them over there, or we can ask them to come over here into our courthouse for an hour and make a decision, or whatever it takes, make a decision on this case. If it's that kind of a case, that needs to be heard right away, because they can't be held, but there's a reasonable amount of time. Yeah, obviously, if you get someone murdering someone, you're not going to let them loose. You're going to detain them. But you do want to get them before a jury real quick. 72 hours might be reasonable. Quicker if possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I know what my other thing was. You made mention recently to retard our email usage. What is a good point to post our meetings and agendas? Have we got a spot on the site? Because I've just been emailing my people weekly.
Well, you do, first of all, remember, you have a calendar. Every state has a calendar. So you can post the information on the calendar. Every state coordinator has blogging abilities, so they can do blogging. Of course, you have the boards, and you can do sticky things on the board so that the state coordinator can make sure that a certain thing stays on top all the time. And one of them may be instructions, and the other one may be the events at the moment, and you'll be changing that all the time or whatever, and people will be discussing them. So those are things. Of course, you have the ability to email. I would suggest one email a week. I mean, maybe two if you want, but I wouldn't go any more than – I don't see a reason for any more than one a week. You know, you're at the Monday meeting. You're hearing what's going on. You're making your notes and what you think is important to reiterate, and then you might send an email out for the meeting coming up on Wednesday, maybe make some points. You know, this was discussed on Monday's meeting. We're going to talk a little bit about that and get this message out, and participation, blah, blah, blah. You come to the meeting. You spend a half hour, 15 minutes, a half hour. People need to know that they can leave after a half hour at least. They can leave, you know. And encourage them to get to the Monday meeting. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the discussions take place. This is where the learning goes. This is where the reading, the keeping up on exactly where we're at, what we've done, what we're doing, where we're going, you know. All of that is important.
Yep, right there with you. All right, John, I'll yield out and let somebody else take the chair. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, Gerard. Okay, who is this? John Dwayne? I know this is familiar. Anonymous. Who's? I just unmuted somebody.
That's Rick, isn't it?
That's what I thought. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, that's Rick. John Draw. That's Rick.
Yeah, but he's not. He hasn't signed in yet. But someone he's in on the. He's been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. This was Ron from Texas.
Ron from Texas. Okay.
Oh, you did get me. I'm surprised at that.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the Skype. I put in that *61 about an hour ago, and I don't remember what the heck I wanted to ask you about now.
Oh, he came in because he's anonymous, John, so we gave him the one that Rick used.
Well, you do realize that that's all Gerard's fault, right?
Okay, that's enough. You
as
guys
got
to get
as long
off.
As we got
next.
That straight.
Oh, okay. Let's go. Next.
No, that's okay. I'm down here in Texas, and I was wondering whether or not Texas had filled out and sent in those papers on the indictment for Gardner. I don't see them on the page here, and I don't know where Piper is. Piper is the Texas State Coordinator, but I haven't heard from her in a couple of weeks, and I don't have the Texas even the county stamps. So,
well, get a hold of the district coordinator or Gary, and let's hunt someone down to do what. But you did send it out?
I don't know. I don't think it did. I don't see it on the list. Somebody published the list a little while ago, and I did not see Texas on there.
Okay, so Gary must have posted something on up there. Where did he post it up on the National Coordinators page?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't get in. I can't get in the National Coordinators page. I'm the Limestone County, or one of the Limestone County coordinators.
Okay. Well, if you go to contacts, I like contacts, and then you click on National Coordinator. Okay, that's Gary's page he put together. And if you look on there, you'll see the states. Texas is District 5, a guy named Lawrence, and you got his phone number, and you can give him a call, and he should be on top of Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi to make sure that their job is done.
Okay.
Okay, so go talk with him, and if you can't get through to Lawrence, you can always call Gary up. His number's on this page somewheres.
Okay, I'll find one of them, but we need to make sure that the state of Texas is represented in all of that. And I'm 72 years old, but I'm still working for a living, I'll tell you. that puts me in the busy category. I've been trying to get in here as much as I can on the civics courses and the tests, but as old as I am and as slow as I'm getting nowadays, I'm pretty well tied up with everything else that I'm doing. I'm in
well,
here about
whatever you can put, every little bit helps, or whatever little bit you can do, yeah. Or a lot of bit, or whatever you can do is always all is helpful.
I am.
We appreciate it.
Some of you people know me as second in command, Operation American Spring.
Oh, okay.
I'm the web administrator for Patriots for America and Operation American Spring.
Oh, great.
So I've got on my two websites and on the Facebook site, Operation American Spring, we've got about 10,000 users, members over here, and we're all paying attention. I'm recruiting from those two websites, getting them into the NLA. So we're working hard at it. So you got
a lot of people
growing right here on my two websites.
Yeah, tell them. Look, whatever they're doing, they should continue to do. We don't ask anyone to stop doing whatever they're doing, you know. And some people have a mission with Common Core. They're doing heavy things, even trying to get people elected. You know, all those are important things. But this is something that everybody also should be part of your life. Just being part of this to be a jurist, because everyone needs to be, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we, the people, actually make the decision-making of our nation and our countries. And so this is what we have to be involved in. So do ask those people. Get out on that front page. Read the front page. Watch the three videos, because there's three videos up there now. And you'll know, you'll understand who we are. Sign up and support us, even if it's just with your body from time to time.
Well,
because that's going to come up maybe when we're going to go somewhere.
That's a valuable phone call you made to make sure that those papers go out. That's a good thing. I mean, even if you did just that in 1 week, that pushes it along maybe and get somebody else involved too. But the fact that you can check on stuff like that, that's important.
Well, we're going to make a list, and we're going to get it up with all the states that got out. Gary, I know you're here. I hope you're listening at the moment. But let's get that list up on the national page. Or get it to me, and I'll put it up someplace on what states have sent it out. Matter of fact, we should do a report card on the states.
Yeah,
let's talk about that later. What sheriff's things, the Cuomo want, the this thing and that thing and the other thing. We'll do a report card.
Somebody posted the list of the states that had already submitted probably an hour ago.
Do you know where that was posted?
On the website chat room, on your Monday night call chat room. I guess that's
Shake and Wake.
Yeah, Shake and Wake or whatever it is.
That's pretty close, though, W and a B.
That's on the NLA website. Join the Monday night call. There's a chat room there.
Right.
Somebody posted that list of names. I wish somebody would post that again so that we can get a copy of that. I cut and paste on that. But the one thing that...
What I'm going to do under contacts, maybe. Let me look at this. Yeah, maybe under contacts. I'm not sure where, but someplace we're going to put a report card up. It's going to be a page, just a report card. It's going to have every page, every state on it, and then there's going to be a place where a check is put on all the items we're doing as we're going, and we can see how we're progressing. And look, we're not going to get down on the people that aren't responding quick enough. Obviously, maybe they don't have enough help. There's other things holding them back. But what that means is the sister states, you should be making some phone calls saying, how can I help you, okay? So we do have a few states that don't have a lot of people in it, and they really need help. And so let's find out who those states are. We'll do that by putting this info up, and then people should be assisting. How can we help you? Because we need to do this in unity. We're not going to win unless we're doing this in unity, so...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, there's the list again. Somebody just put it up. Donald from Indiana, Hamilton.
Okay.
Just put that list up again. That's good. Thank you very much, Donald. Appreciate that. One of the things, now, so a lot of people are familiar with that Operation American Spring. We made an attempt last May to impeach Obama and a whole bunch of other people up there. I mean, our mission was to dredge the swamp, really, if you want to put it that way. And I told, even though I was one of the coordinators of that mission, I told Colonel Harry Riley, we need a legal component to all of this mission. And my mindset and my understanding of when I said we need a legal component, I was talking about the common law. The common law and the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, if people will go back and they will read that Constitution, that gives us all of the tools that we need, we the people. It gives us all of the tools and the mechanisms that we need to clean this mess out up in Washington. Now, yes, we're dealing with city and state government, county law enforcement, these code enforcement officers in New York City. We have we've got three issues right here in my local county where three men have been killed by sheriff deputies. One of them was the man was hit with a taser gun first. He was on the ground squirming around. He had two guys sitting on top of him trying to calm him down, and the cop shot him three times anyway. So, yeah, we've got issues all over this country. My position on all of this is all of this stuff is coming from the top down. We've got these people up in Washington that are stirring the pot. This is what we are seeing from the Ferguson, Missouri riots. This is what we're seeing going on in the protests and the riots that we see right now in New York City, even though I agree with them. You know, they may be justified at that point, but stirring the pot is coming from the top. And we need to go after all of them.
Well, that's where we're a stick in their spokes, you see, because when we put these presentments in, that puts the legal process in even from the bottom, and that screws them up on the top. I'm telling you, if the top can't get a footing in the county because the people are aware and they start indicting all these idiots, it won't work. Because what will happen is, those cops that are killing people and beating people up, they're going to get scared when a couple of them start getting indicted. They're not going to be so quick to do this horseshit.
That's right.
So, we can bring the bottom up and the top down, but right now we're in the counties and stuff because that's where we're operating. Eventually, when we get enough clout in that, then look at the guys on the hop, they got all the guns and all their money, and so they're going to get theirs. Their day is coming. You know what I mean?
I think, Gerard, I think we can say that right now we got the bottom coming up. So we're bottom up. And yep. I think I can say, correct me if I'm wrong, the next paper that we plan on putting in, which we don't have a date time yet because everything else, again, like I said, not a matter of doing it. Yeah, exactly. Time. We have to do it with principles, okay?
Right.
Not with expedience. You know, expedience says, right now, I want to file it now. I want to file it next week.
Right.
But we're going to compromise principles to do that. We can't. There are things we have not done yet. And they're going to be done very, very soon. And when that happens, I believe we can say that's the top down. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to be squeezing these guys now at that point.
Well, I think we're getting to critical mass now because people are fed up. And it's happening in every state. I mean, if you go on the Internet, because people have YouTube and iPhones, this crap is all over. I mean, you want to get sick, just go in and YouTube these police brutality movies. They're all over the place. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. They're all over the place. I mean, I don't care where you go. You can go to California, Texas, Missouri. You can go to
all
kinds of places.
And they're all code violations.
They're all, yeah, they are.
But you see, we got to make sure we do the right thing, because one of the reasons they're letting all this stuff go on YouTube and that, don't forget, they control YouTube. They control this media. And so far, look, I think they're looking for unrest, and they're letting these cops do this because they want the people to fight with the authorities. See, they want to bring the bottom up too. That's their plan.
Yeah, they do.
That way they can bring the top down and lock us down. But you see,
that's right.
But
that's
look,
right.
If we tie them up in the courts with legal process, they're done. They're finished. And that's why we got to get everybody on board to file all these papers at the same time. That really messes them up, because that's like a big slick of oil in the road. They can't stop. They're going to hit that wall. They're going to smash.
Because
that's what's going to happen. They're going to come around that corner, and there's the grease we put down. Wham! Right into the courtroom.
Yep. You got it. You got it.
That's the plan, and everybody, you know, that we're working it. The only thing is it's a lot of timing, it's a lot of finesse, it's a little bit of a dance. And look, we don't know all the things that are going to happen either. We have to be, you know, we have to be proactive, but we have to be reactive too.
Yeah.
So depending on what happens next will depend on, you know, which way we go, you know. So we'll see. I think if God's on your side, who could be against you? We're doing the good fight, and so I'm confident that we're going to be raised up, because I think it's time, you know.
Well, our time is coming, and I think NLA, the approach right now is critical. I think the approach right now is correct. I think it, like John says, and you, I think we have to approach a little bit more slowly sometimes than I would like to. I won't say what I would like to do. But
yeah, I got the same feeling, but we have to have control. That's patience, and we ain't going to get anywhere without patience and mercy sometimes, even when we don't want to give it.
Yeah, my wife is constantly telling me, patience, idiot, patience. You'll get
well. God says it's a virtue, and that's what we need. So she's right.
I'm telling you, it is very, very difficult to maintain that patience sometimes.
Just think of all the character being built by that.
Well, yeah,
that's the key.
But the approach that NLA is taking right now, it to some people it may seem like, what the hell are you messing around with this code enforcement in New York City for, when we got bigger fish to burn? Well, it comes back to the point, maybe we need to learn how to walk before we can run. But
it also makes our point. It's the epitome of what we're saying.
It does.
There was news reports that Holder was paying those kids to be provocateurs in Ferguson.
Well, I read a thing today on the Drudge Report that said the organizers of those New York City protests were looking for new approaches, new venues to protest, so that they could keep the interest alive in burning the city down. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that's got to tell you something. This racial BS, stirring the pot, is coming from the top.
Exactly. And look, in the streets there's no racial stuff going on. You talk to the people. That one lady, she said, it's not a black thing. I don't believe it's a black thing. And she's right, it's not.
No, it's not.
They would have taken anybody's, you know, butt down. They don't care. They don't give a crap. Well, it's about that blue line.
Well, there's been, now, since the Ferguson killing out there, and by the way, my two cents on that Ferguson, I think the grand jury in Ferguson probably got it right. I think the grand jury in New York City did not get it right. But that's my own opinion on that. But the problem is that with this administration that we've got up there, now, I'm old enough, I'm 72 years old. I'm old enough, I lived through the 1960s with these people that are running our government now, and their riots, the things that they did in the 1960s, and I've read all of their books. I read all of their material, the propaganda and the things that they're putting out. I know where these people think they are going. And I also know that we have to stop them. NLA and the common law is our tools. It is the tools that have been granted and given to us by the founding fathers in the Constitution. People just need to learn that. People need to go back, read that Constitution, study that. Get involved with your civics courses that you've got here on the NLA. They are absolutely invaluable. People need to learn this stuff. We need to understand what the founding fathers meant when they wrote that Constitution and every one of those first 10 or 12 amendments to the Constitution. These people were very, very intelligent people. They were very well educated. And what people nowadays don't want to know, these people were the wealthy elite of our communities back then in the 1700s. These men were men of means, and they were men of education. They labored and they stressed over every single word that is in those documents. We need to learn those words. We need to learn the language of that Constitution. And we need to employ every bit of those tools that they have given us. We need to save this country. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for working so hard at it.
Okay, appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right. I'm backing out and give somebody else 2 cents.
Okay. Yeah, we got
Gerard.
Obama, we got Jason,
you've
we got
to push
Kalama.
Me on, Gerard. What's wrong with you?
Come on, let's go.
Come on. Kalama, aloha.
Aloha. I that's a hard act to follow.
I know, isn't it?
Anyway. From Hawaii, minor basic insights. I'm very appreciative of your recent email about press releases that are allowed to go out. They went out on Pacifica News on Facebook and Twitter, and uh-huh. I've been doing it even before being asked. Also,
great,
I would like
great.
To commend the improvements on the home site, on the home page, especially breaking news, where when you click on, and I'm and trying to encourage everybody out there in all the states to click on any of your breaking news articles, and a pop-up comes out up, and it says share on Facebook or Twitter. Thank you so much, the site people who are putting this together.
That's our tech guys, so, yep.
Yeah, well, I want to congratulate them. Thank you so much. That makes life so much easier. I also
great.
Want to clarify something. I think we still need to support the sheriffs. I think we also still need to be strong with the sheriffs. And it is my understanding that the coordinator in New Jersey is still planning to go to to D.C., even though there was much confusion. There were many news media that pronounced that 200-plus sheriffs are going to Washington, D.C., to protest Obama's amnesty. This was already published, or else I would not have mentioned it on an L.A. site on two occasions. I think the sheriffs still need support, but I think there is confusion among the sheriffs, and this is the confusion that I am seeing from reports from all around, that, number one, sheriffs don't even know what their role is in some cases.
That's and the so, big, big problem. That is the huge problem, and that is the problem we are dealing with right now. The paper we wrote is to let these people know exactly what their job is and by what authority they may act. We need to empower these people. We need to let them know you can go arrest the judge and you don't have to worry about that prosecutor. You go arrest that judge and you call for the grand jury because that's your job and that's your authority. You are the law enforcement officer of the county, the highest. You can arrest, if the President of the United States comes through there and you put a warrant, you can arrest him as he comes through your county. You can arrest the governor. You can arrest anyone in your state, literally, and because, you know, especially the governor, he's responsible in all the counties. But the thing is they need to know what their job is, and they need to, and not just be told what their job is, they got to be shown what their job is. And that's what I think this paper does. And it makes it very clear. It separates the difference between a code enforcement law officer and a law enforcement officer and what the difference is. One works for the corporation, the other one works for the people. One has police powers, the other one doesn't. One has the authority to arrest and call for the grand jury for an indictment, and the other one can only do a citizen's arrest. And the citizen's arrest means they have to deliver it to the sheriff, and the sheriff has to look at this and say, what, are you crazy? And let this guy go, okay? You see, that's what the sheriff needs to understand. So there are many people that the courts put into the jails. The sheriff say, what are you, insane? This is, I can't do this because I'm violating the unalienable rights. I'm not going along with you guys. I'm coming down there to arrest you guys if you don't stop it now. You see, we got to educate them that they're powerful enough, strong enough to be able to say that. And so they don't have the muscle yet. So they have to get their constitutional muscle by learning this stuff and more and more and looking into it and digger and deeper into it, and we're trying to put that together in one paper. And once they have that, they're going to be working on their muscles. They're going to be doing their presses and their curls, and they're going to be able to go out there and do their job. And that is to uphold the Constitution. Yeah.
I think this is an extremely important thing that NLA is doing in relation to the sheriffs. And I would like to add this. The sheriffs are going both ways. In some states, no sheriffs are going to Washington, D.C. on the 10th. In other states, a symbolical number. On the border of on the borderlands, one sheriff has declared, a single sheriff declared, that they will not allow federal intervention. The sheriffs are supposed to represent the people, we the people. The marshals, and some research has been done, we've done hours and hours of research historically, back to time, back into Anglo-Saxon time in England, what a sheriff was. Like, the sheriff of Nottingham exceeded his office.
Mm-hmm.
In Robin Hood stories, for instance. And so we go back, and the sheriff's extent of power has waned and gone over the top different periods of history. And right now, I think it's both directions. Now, on December 24th, of all dates, if everyone's listening, on December 24th, Obama has signed another illegal act. Is anyone there?
Yep, we heard about this, and remember this.
Yeah.
This is more symbolic than anything else. They're not coming out for our guns that day.
No. Let me share this, though. He is federalizing the local police. However,
I didn't know about that one. Okay.
Oh, yes. He's federalizing the local police. And by doing that, they can use all this heavy equipment that is in too many towns and cities.
And by doing that, the sheriff can kick them out of town.
That is the correct answer, sir.
Yes.
The question is, who will stand up for we the people, and who are going to stand down and then stand up for we the people? And so what you're doing is highly important, and I don't think there's a more important meeting. I wouldn't want to be at anything less important than this meeting on Mondays that we are having. And thank you once again. I would like to say that even though we're confused by I'm going to go back to the December 10th issue.
Bear in mind, though, confusion is a prerequisite of understanding.
Indeed. Chaos is before the darkness, before the light. Okay,
that's
so
right.
December 10th, let me review this. And let me take responsibility for this, because I informed NLA about this, even though others may have known about this. There were many articles in multiple publications allowed by the main sheriff in Massachusetts who is spearheading this. And the article read, and I will repeat this, this was the headline, which was repeated time and again, 200 plus sheriffs are going to Washington, D.C. to protest Obama's amnesty. Now, as we know, several things have happened. Number one, suddenly, we are not being able to communicate too well with that sheriff through multiple means, taping through the leadership of New Jersey. And I've been working closely with the coordinator of New Jersey. And furthermore, we are told that first there is a private meeting, which is really not a protest nor a confrontation with the president, even though there is a letter, which is a historical document, which I hope will be shared at some point at NLA, from the main lead sheriff in Massachusetts. There is a letter of protest to President Obama. Whether that will be submitted to him, it is clear that there are seven and two senators are compassionate with the sheriff's pleas, and at least those two senators will be available on December 10th. But first, there will be a private meeting, from my understanding, and then there will be a public presentations, like a press conference or something afterwards, or some public expression of the outcome. So things have morphed, and as we have noted, many of us in many states, things are morphing very quickly. What is reality is very questionable on any side of any issue. And so I'm saying ride with the tide, try to be true to our virtues and values, and I, as a journalist, also am true to only release what is released and ready to be released, as just was released on Quaranto and the presentment, which has been released. And once again, thank you for everybody's cooperation, including the media. And the media has a huge responsibility, everything from buttons to everything else. So mainly, personally, I've been focusing on letter writing, specific letter writing. If anyone is a good letter writer, we need specific models and templates for which all the states can gain information and cut and paste or copy and paste and add to template letters for your own states. And I'm pretty much done. I don't want to take any more time. So December 10th, there will be people going to D.C., and especially people are needed to be available in case there's the opportunity to interview senators or sheriffs.
Well, what I'd like to say is whoever's heading out to D.C. from us, I'm going to be posting the message, the letter to the sheriff on authority, which it's a paper. We're not going to call it a letter. It's a paper to the sheriff. By what authority? And I'm going to post it probably on, you know what, I may post it on the right side where I posted the other papers. For instance, we have how to address the FBI, a message to law enforcement. Hybrid papers disclaimer, press release disclaimer. I think we'll put it on the top, right on the top, so every page you go to, it'll be right there on the top right side, right under the 50 constituted states. It'll be to the sheriff by what authority, and something like that, we'll name it. And it's a paper. It's about 6 pages. And again, people can comment if they – not comment on it. I don't want anyone to really comment on it per se. What I want is more authority. If anybody has something that we didn't cover in there and they think is valuable to get it in there, to have the sheriff know by what authority, definitely send me an email on that. Now, just for people to know, I'm starting to get way too many emails again, a lot of junk email. I'm being put back onto lists. I'm going to set a responder up off of my email. So whenever you send me an email, you get an automatic responder, which will say I'll get back to you as soon as I can. If the letter's too long, you know, I'm not going to read it. I just don't have the time. You know, people should be sending me short messages, and please take me off of any, garbage emails, people sending out. And I don't want to really call it garbage emails. But I can't be on email list and getting all these things because it clouds up my email and I can't get to the work I need to get done. So, but anyway, when you get the autoresponder, just read it very carefully. It's I got the email. It's just letting you know I'll get back to you if I can and when I can, and I'll figure something up to write details for different situations. But I'll always request please remove me from on any email list. Okay. Anyway. Anything else, Kalama?
No, just that that there. What I see is it's a media opportunity in Washington D.C. Even if no one wants to speak to the press, through the press, you can always say the senator was not available for comment. This is what the press usually does, and what that says, it's just like, oh, the judges failed to respond. That means they're not doing their duty. And they don't want to admit they're not wanting to do their duty. So when you get a senator or a sheriff or anyone in responsible position who refuses to meet the press or meet the representative who's standing behind them or standing for them even in the press, that is a huge question for the public and the media and the leaders of any organization that are supportive. And in this case, NLA is supportive of the sheriffs. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to meet with us or don't want to meet with the press, this brings up questions. Okay, I'm done. And so December 10th is still open. Thank you so much.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
Next caller. Hang on a minute. Why is that coming up there? Okay, next caller is... Jason.
Hi, John.
New Jersey.
Jersey J here. Wow, it's so good to be coming after my my editor, Kalima. It's mighty fine. We're doing fantastic, and the media is key. And as far as standing up for the position, I'd like to be able to head that committee of the writer for the speaking to the powers that be. So I'd be a spokesperson for the NLA and for New Jersey also. So
Are you planning to go to Washington, or do you know anybody?
Yes, I am. I made my arrangement. I'm going down for $15 a ride down to Washington from New York City. I made my reservations, and I'm going down there.
Right. I'm going to get out. I'm going to get out the letter, well, not the letter, the paper for the sheriffs. It's in PDF form. I'll get it out tonight or tomorrow morning. It'll be up on the site. If you can download it and make a couple of hundred copies so you can get a copy to each sheriff. They need to have...
Oh, yeah. And we can do the quo vanto, too. That's super, that's
yeah, absolutely.
Super, super
that absolutely. That will really, really encourage them.
Yeah. Well, I will also be giving my I sent out my 4-page notice to my sheriffs. And some of the sheriffs couldn't come because they're understaffed. and some of them are not in in a way to help. But again, the Sheriff Frederick Brown from Huntington County is going down there, and I'll be able to meet up with him, and it's going to be really great. This is the God has given us such great gifts with everything that's happening. The best way to get to attack your enemy is through the truth and by paperwork. Being that remember, you can die from paper cuts. And folks, paper cut is as they say, a bitch, and it really hurts. And New Jersey, with that clause, you cannot take the fifth if you're an employee of the state. When that person was doing the Christie gate, she took the fifth, so technically she was guilty.
That's right. When those people from the IRS or the Federal Reserve came before Congress and they pleaded the fifth, they should have been put in jail because right. They had a duty to speak.
Right. And again, the more paperwork that we the people can put out and the more that we can undermine them. Remember, water is the biggest and the strongest power we have on this planet. And because it was changed its form and take items with it. And we just got to erode their facade. And once we get down to the weaker side, they're done with. Now I'm going through, I'm filing charges against the judge and a cop that gave me 5 tickets for saying no to him on a car accident that my insurance would pay for. So everything he did to me was punitive. So everyone fell in place. The judge wouldn't even admit to what the law laid. Go to the law library. Excuse me? I asked you a question. He wouldn't answer it.
we need to train them that they have a duty to answer. They got an authority. They're acting under authority of color of law. They have a duty to answer now.
Right.
Listen, I got to push you along because we got 25 minutes left, and we got a lot of people behind you.
All right. Again, I'll be there. John, are you going to be there front and center?
Well, I was planning to go, but I'm really way too busy. I got radio interviews now. I got just so much going on, I can't do it. So.
Anyone coming? Can Gerard come? Gerard, come on down. Bring your car work. No, all right.
Yeah, give Gerard a call. Maybe he can go. I don't know.
All right.
I'm just totally bogged down, but I hope as many people as possible can go out and give them support, and get the papers to them.
Again, it's going to be very good working and being the spokesperson for NLA. This is not an ego job. This is a passion job, and mm-hmm. When I'm going out there for the people, I mean it's riveting and ratifying and just fantastic. And when everyone goes out there, folks, please just feel it, feel the power of the Lord God. And you're going out there and you smile, you do it, and you're going to collect a lot of people on your side. It's not that how many you have. It's how many people you can count on. And it's not the masses. It's just a few. Thank you. God bless.
Okay, thanks,
and power Jason. To all right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Next caller, Anonymous. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Hi, John. This is Irina.
Hey,
I was wondering. Hi. I was wondering. I recently met some person who is he's a teacher in a couple colleges. He was detective before, and he is about election. He's saying that New York State is so much corrupt because of the election set up here special way that, for example, the president, future president, comes here just to raise the funds. He gets the money from New York, and he gets to another state, which in each district he has to fight for the voters. So he spent there a couple of millions that he got from New York. And when he got this fundraising here, he got to return the favors. So... we have nothing but favors and crimes, and who is his fundraisers? It's you know who that is, and it's probably the same people, and they're getting there. So it's a major corporation, construction company, so on. So he has his own plan. He's saying that we're not looking in a ballot in the back, and that's why we're not underlining the right stuff. And he is understanding all about how terrible situation it is, and he wants something new in that direction. Would you be interested? He was interested to speak to the people to actually explain to them what to do, what possibly could be done. I'm explaining very primitively. So would you be interested?
Is he familiar with what we're doing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And does he support it? Does he understand it?
Yeah, yes, he understands.
Oh, well, this is the solution. I mean, he's looking at the political solution, right?
Yes, he's looking at how border the politicians' power.
Right. Well, look at the political. We cannot. It is impossible to solve the political solution without first solving the judicial solution, and I say that because we understood and come to realize how we can take political power and authority over 5 years ago, but they prevented us from coming into power. Illegally, of course, and they've controlled the voting box, and that's why we couldn't get in. And they hid the law that actually elects the true committee man, which would be bottom up and not top down. And so that's why we got into the courts. We fought in the courts for years trying to get the committee man in, the elected committee man in. And in that process, that's how we learned everything we learned. And there's no way we're going to fix the political problem. We're not going to fix the voting box problem. We're not going to be able to fix any of that until we first fix our courts. Once we fix the courts, then we force them to obey the law on the political side, and we take that old process back, and we will take that back literally overnight. We already have a plan for that, and we were trying to execute it for years. That structure's been built. It's just that we put it on hold because we can't get in, take the political authority and power, because they shut us off in the courts. Well, once we take the courts, it's a whole different story. So that will be fixed. But if he wants to call me and discuss things, tell him, give him my number. Tell him to try me during the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, any
okay.
afternoon, tomorrow, mm-hmm. or any time during the week, any afternoon, early afternoon.
He said he wants to give some kind of meeting to our group and to the Oath Keepers.
Well, we don't even know who he is, and NLA doesn't get involved in things outside of our focus. I mean, people in NLA get involved in their own things outside our focus in their own groups. You know, they belong to Liberty groups, they belong to Oath Keepers, and they get involved in all those events. That's where, but they don't bring those events here because NLA is interested in one focus, and that's justice in the courtroom, and we keep it clean and focused, nothing else. And so we wouldn't entertain his conversation in our meetings, neither on a state level, local level, or on a national level. But if he wanted to call me and talk to me, and maybe we can exchange thoughts and ideas, and maybe he might be interested in working a little more stronger with us in our position, of course, that's great. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But anyway, I got to push you along because we got a lot of mm-hmm. callers and it's just getting late. We got like less than 20 minutes left.
Okay.
So,
okay. Thank you. I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you. All right.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. Lincoln, Missouri.
Yeah. Yes. My name is Lincoln Justice.
How you doing, Lincoln Justice? I saw you come across my mail the other day. I think you just ordered books, possibly. Or something?
Yes, I haven't
okay,
got any response yet.
I think yours went out today because I remember seeing that name. I thought it was an interesting name, Lincoln Justice.
Yes, I have been, for years, I've been trying to get involved in common law court movement. And we have, we tried several years ago to get involved with a movement that seemed like it was going somewhere. And it didn't seem to work out, and so I was very pleased to learn about the National Liberty Alliance and the work that you have done in terms of recruitment of people for every county. So thought this was an excellent idea.
Yeah, well, we're still working in the counties, though, but we do have a lot of people in a lot of counties. But we do have every state on board, and every state is working in their counties. Even in New York, we still have a few counties that we don't have leaders in, but we're working on it. And each county is building, and our membership is building. And that should be the case in every state. One of the key things, just to take a quick opportunity on this, is if you're not having weekly state meetings, you're not going to have any growth. Let me repeat that. You will not grow until you start your state meetings. Make a phone call once a week. Keep it short, on focus, less than a half hour. Stay on point. Get people active. Get them to the Monday night meeting. Just when two people come together, before you know it, you got three, you got four. Hey, look, it. When we started out here, we started out as New York committeemen with three people on in a call just like this. Three people. That's what we were. Okay, it became 10 people, it became 20 people, 100 people, and so on. And then, of course, by that at one point, we moved over to National Liberty Alliance. First, New York Liberty Alliance, and then National Liberty Alliance. And each state becomes more and more powerful when they start their state meeting. No meeting, no action, no new membership. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Lincoln.
I've been rather disturbed because in these Monday night calls, it seems to be more of a monologue with you taking the total lead. And I've been also very disturbed because you have not spread out the leadership.
Well, that's not correct. It is true. I do take the first half hour to an hour.
You know, you take the whole hour. Let me just say, John, you take the whole hour and you don't listen to people.
Well, yeah, I often do. You're absolutely right, and I admit to that because we're executing the plan. We're letting the people know what's going on. We're explaining things to people, and we're getting them active. We're getting them excited. We're giving them the information they need to have. Now, as far as giving out the leadership, what you have to understand is National Liberty Alliance, our motto is, we must decrease and the people must increase. But the people can never come to increase until we get to that point where they are educated and in power in their counties. That's when they will increase. They need to take the civics course. They need to get some basic information and understanding on what's going on in this country, how we got here. They need to know about the Constitution. They need to know American history. They need to know common law. They need to know all these things. And until they have those things, they can't participate too much in the leadership end, with the exception of working together to organize. Everybody can take an organizing position. Everybody has the opportunity to click that button when they join or any time after and make themselves a county organizer and start organizing their counties. Anybody has that opportunity to get onto the leadership movement within their state and become a major player in that state to work together to get the job done. And we're leading that from the national level, what needs to be done. We've researched everything we're doing. We've got a process and procedure that we understand how it works. We got the paper flow. We did everything we needed to do to get where we're at in the federal courts. We built a organization. I hate to call it that, but we did organize people across the entire nation. We got memberships, people in every single state. We got leaderships in every state. We're working on county to county, and we're building it up. We have a national leader. He's on his own, so to speak, and he's got the point. He's got the plan, and he comes to me and reports what's going on, gives me information. But he's doing what he's got to do. He's got underneath him, I think there's 11 or 12 district coordinators underneath him. And then, of course, there's state board coordinators or in every state. And then we have people who are running the courtroom observation. They got total control over what they're doing. They got the plan, and they're on point. They understand the plan, and that's the key. We give out leadership to the people who understand the plan, because we have to stay on the plan and we have to stay on point. So we have the media group going campaign group. We've got, and as I mentioned, the courtroom observers group going, a group for every state. So I don't understand what you're saying when you try to say that I don't give out people with power or with leadership. And again, don't get this all wrong. It has nothing to do with power. You better keep your ego at home. It's all about getting the job done and doing your duty. That's what NLA is trying to make, the point we're trying to make. When we get into power and authority, that's in your county. You get into your county, and you have power and authority with three other people across this nation, four people in every single county. That's when we've accomplished our goal. And the closer and closer we get to that, and more that builds up, then the more and more the people increase, and more NLA decreases. NLA is a facilitator. We'll remain here for that purpose forever. We will maintain an educational process. We'll maintain advice, counsel. We'll maintain structure, instructions, and everything the people need to keep going. We will be here for anybody who goes to become an elected individual any place in this nation. They should take our civics course. We know what we put into our civics course. We know we're giving them the truth. We're giving them the best that they can get. They're getting right now, right there in that civics course. And there's more we can put in here, but right now that is what it is. And every person who runs for office, whether they're running for a councilman or the mayor or the governor or the sheriff, we're going to talk to the committee men once we get that back up on, and we're going to ask them, please do not support anyone who has not taken this course. Come to NLA and take this course. Oh, well, I took a civics course. No, you come take our course, because we know what we put in here. And as people go through this course, we'll get feedback, and they'll tell us, whether they agree or not, that we put some great stuff in here. You've come to a good understanding once you get through this civics course. So you can't say to me what you said. You're in error, and I don't know why you have that opinion. I'm kind of surprised, but thanks for your call. Next caller, Mary from Pennsylvania. You got the mic. Hello, Mary. Mary from Pennsylvania. You've got the microphone, 484.
Okay.
Hey, how you
Sorry,
doing?
I had muted and I couldn't figure out why you weren't hearing me.
Well.
I had muted my phone. I apologize.
That's okay. That's what I do all the time. I'm talking and no one's hearing me.
Thanks, John. Two quick things. I don't have a lot of information, but I can get it if there is any support. There's a young woman, Diane, who was part of the Montgomery County NLA initially, and she's got seven cases that she's doing pro se in the courts. And on the 19th of December, she actually has a precedent-setting case and had asked me if I would come and be a court watcher.
Did she get a hold of Eric
to
fill out a form?
Pardon me, please?
Eric, up on, we have a guy that's leading the courtroom observation and organization across the nation, and he's been doing this for quite some time. We're glad to have him with us, and we set him up with a place on our site, and he's organizing people across the nation to assist each other in our court cases. So you should talk with him. He's got a lot of great ideas. He'll tell you how to get cameras into the court. It's important to get a camera into the court. Matter of fact, every case we have, we should plan on getting cameras in the court. And so he'll teach us tricks and ways to get it. He always comes in, sets up his camera, sets up the recording equipment, intimidates the hell out of the judge, and let the recording start. And what we'll like to do is go in with three or four people, set up the cameras, and get out there with paper and pen and really intimidate this judge, to intimidate him into doing the just thing.
Well, the judge was going to dismiss the case. As he said, there was no precedence. And she took control of the courtroom, and she said, well, how do you get a precedence, Your Honor? Isn't that the purpose of this case? If there isn't a precedence, then we need to set one. So the case is...
Yeah, but that's a wrong path to go down, just as you know, just so you know that. The precedence is irrelevant.
I have no idea what the case is or anything,
right?
Because she's got seven different ones.
I just want to make a point, though. Precedence is irrelevant. I don't care about precedence. Cause of action, I couldn't care three flings in the wind for causes of action. What I want to see is injury. If there's an injured party, there is the case. The Supreme Court has ruled, and it is the way it is, what makes a prima case, is an affidavit. An affidavit claiming an injury makes the case, period, end of subject. You got right and duty in the court, and that's common law. We don't care about their stupid causes of actions. We don't care about their stupid precedences. And we don't care about their court rulings either, with the exception of the United States Supreme Court. We don't care about any of their rulings. It's all irrelevant. It means nothing to us.
It isn't their rulings. It's what she's controlling.
Huh?
She forced their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know enough, and I'd like to see if maybe I can get her to come to, if not the Pennsylvania meeting on Wednesday, perhaps I can get her next Monday to the call. And
well, bear in mind,
you
don't want to get too lost on having this kind of thing on your state calls, but, you know, you might get together with a couple of people, meet, talk with them, and try to help her in the courtroom. That's what we should be doing. But don't force it onto the other people in the state, you know, on the state calls or anything. But definitely take it to the private calls and say, hey, anybody in there willing to come to court and help out? We're going to be meeting at this number tomorrow or after this call or whatever, okay? And then get help to this person, absolutely. Get to understand their case. Join up with Eric on our group because he will help to assist people. He's got a form. He's going to give you a list of things to do, what you can do, and it'll be very helpful to this person and to you and anybody that's going to court.
Okay, because I was going to say, this is the courthouse that I'm dealing with my own issues, John.
Uh-huh.
It's the same county. Yeah, right. This is the same county court. We got hooked up on something totally unrelated, and it was kind of ironic that, in a nutshell, that's what it came out to. Okay, moving on to my other thing. You were talking about there are seven other countries who are interested in
right.
in joining up with us in common law movement.
Right.
And what would it take for them to contribute to cover their costs?
Well, they would contribute once they're in, but the thing is they don't have enough people. They need to build a membership in order to build the money up to do it. So I haven't asked them for money. But look, we have a huge membership. And if everyone was to consider giving $5 a month, it would be plenty of money to take on any country at any time to bring them into the game. And this is good for us because this brings us to more membership. It brings us to other nations. It makes us worldwide. But we, the people, are focusing in on what's going on in America, just as those who would come in on England or New Zealand or Australia or Canada, you know, they would come into their country or their nation's page. And they would, you know, be focusing on the way things work in their nations. But they'll come and get a lot of ideas from us. But we have the Constitution for the United States of America, which is the key to our position in common law.
Yep.
So,
I agree.
But okay. Yeah, I don't. It's going to cost, you know, probably a couple of thousand per country to set everything up. Because we have to set a group up, where, you know, we get the calendars, we set up the bulletin boards, we set up the group, we got to give them roles, and it's got to be built into the system. So,
well, I think if people are having a tough time contributing at this stage, I don't know how they can take on the expense of other countries.
Well, here's the thing. Getting the expense of other countries gets us out further, number one. But here it is. Listen. $5 if everyone. If everyone gave $5 a month, we'd have plenty of money to do anything we need to do. Okay,
John. I'm gonna share something with you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Not only am I covering my own household, but I'm covering a second household, so that there's food, and gas, and electric, and telephone, and water. In another household, and I'm also keeping the roof over a disabled veteran's head 1 week a month that I've been doing for a year and a half. Yeah, I God has blessed me, and I was able to go ahead and kick into you. But there's an awful lot of people that are in their shoes, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
No, I agree.
It's not getting better. It is getting worse. Mm-hmm. If people aren't aware of what was written into the Obamacare law, if people aren't aware what Congress has just signed, they're getting ready to find out, and it's going to just get worse before it gets better. So we've got to get us up and going.
Right, absolutely.
If I had it, boy, I'd put it out to bring in the whole damn world.
You're saying. Hey, there's a lot of rich people out there, and they don't give, okay? And because they're too busy doing something else, so they're not paying attention, okay? And, you know, we do have one person with our group that sends a considerable amount from time to time. And believe me, it takes us over the other side every time. But just when we need it, it seems to show up. So we're very thankful for that person. But bottom line, though, is this. This is going to be solved.
We don't have enough of him. enough of that person.
Yeah, we need more. Well, it's hard.
Yeah, really.
But we need more involvement. We need more people. But all we need... Look, there are people that are on Social Security. They're on a limited amount of money, and they can't afford even the $5. But I'll tell you what, we have people that are on Social Security that do send in that $5, okay? But I don't expect those people, because they're on such a tight, budget. But most of us, if half of us can do it, we'd have plenty of money. We have thousands of members, thousands. And yet we only have hundreds of people that support us. So I have to ask all the time, because it's hard. And the monies that we make on the books goes right back into this whole system, and we're just barely making it. We're just barely making it. And then we have to put enough money aside. It costs a lot of money to order 50,000 books. I mean, I'd like to order more than that, because if I could order more, I get them cheaper. But the thing is, even the books, that money gets soaked right in here very quickly. We pay all the bills, and we got to keep it going. But we,
sounds like my house, John.
Yeah, it's hard. Everybody's budget. I know. Me too. It's hard. It's hard. But anyway, we got to ask.
I hear you. I'm just trying to figure out another way that we can do this. I mean, I've done a little bit of fundraising.
Yeah.
But I don't know what we could do. Yeah, there is something we could do to pull in some money, John.
Again, half the people easily that come to NLA can put in $5 a month. Half the people. The other half will say is that poor that they can't do it. Fine. But it's just half them do it. That's all it takes. Look, if it's important, if this is important to you, you should be supporting it with money, because money is what makes everything work. Okay? So everyone should put their money where their mouth is. If this is important, if you really believe in this and you're putting your time in here, put $5. I know everybody, or most everybody, can afford $5. Most everybody. We all spend $5 and we throw it away from time to time. Just on lottery tickets, maybe. We might spend $5 a week on lottery tickets. I know a lot of people buy lottery tickets, you know?
No, but you know, that's something that we could actually do for a fundraiser, is a lottery calendar based on the daily number. It would pull in $10,000. If we've got that many members.
That's a good idea. Well, would they make that, would they try to arrest us for doing it?
No. No. Nope, it's a legitimate fundraiser.
Okay, why don't you give me a call during the week and try to get me, and let's talk about that idea more.
Okay.
I like that idea. That might do it. So, okay. I got to get going,
people,
though. At 12 o'clock, I'm
people would tend to. Yeah. People will tend to participate in something if they have an opportunity to get something back.
That's true.
And that's exactly what it is.
All right.
And
I just want to make sure we do it in such a way that they don't try to use that to come out after us, you know? So.
Yep. Nope. It's a legitimate fundraiser. Very good. Okay, I'll talk to you again. Thank you. Good night.
All right, thanks, Mary. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take just one more caller. It's really late, and we're after midnight, but we'll take Pennsylvania Don.
John, how you doing?
How you doing? Only got a couple of minutes.
First thing I want to do is commend you on your excellent writing ability on putting that writ together. It's amazing. Everything you write is amazing. Okay? Second, I'm going to keep it to the point. I don't like putting things in my credit card. So your $5 a month or $10 a month doesn't work for me. I like sending a check in, which I've been doing.
Right.
But we get no recognition for that.
Well, you're right. I haven't. I got to go flip the switches. I got a whole pile of stuff. I should get out there and flip switches on people who have been sending regularly, so that they show up as premier. And I'm going to try to do that this week. You know?
Okay.
As a matter of fact, let me put it this way. It might be a little more helpful because it's a little difficult to find it. Well, it's maybe not that difficult. We could figure that out. Yeah. We'll
send $20 a month. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I do it by check.
Right. Yeah, there are people that send 20. There are people that send 10. There's a couple of people send 50 and 100. So let me tell you, we appreciate it. But the $5, I believe in the widow's mite. Because most of the money we do collect, we collect in $5 bills. So,
right,
and
but most people don't.
Powerful.
Most people don't want to charge anything on a credit card now.
Right. Yeah, they could go to the donation page and send a check to the address there, to National Liberty Alliance, and there's an address there.
But you get no recognition for it. That's my point.
Right. Well, I get in, I can flip the buttons. I just haven't done it in a while.
Okay.
So I'll do it. I'll make sure that those people turn up as premier. I'll work on that this week. I'll talk to my son, get him on it.
All right. Second point is, when we had the vote last week on whether or not to take the case, I think you need to have a way for people to ask a question.
Thought about that, but when you have 250 people, and believe me, we've done it that way, and we go on for hours, and then you get those dissenters, and you get into this. I think the best thing to do is give them all the information we have, plus they, in our case, this case, people go out on the Internet and find out more, because you have the press releases, you have the information with the coroner came up with, and we put all that information in there, and we had the actual videos. This was a very easy case to do over the Internet and to get the hardcore facts. It was pretty simple to do that. But we could not, we can't, what we have to do is give people the facts as best we can, let them make a decision. We're not here to sway other people's minds or anything, so on that particular issue, because the key thing is this. Here's the key thing. When that man, that cop killed that man, that was homicide. No matter how you put it, it was homicide. The question is, was it justified homicide or criminal homicide? There's only two ways it becomes justified. If his life was threatened, or if the man was in pursuit and he was trying to escape. Those are the only two ways it becomes justified. But even more than that, this was a code violation. It was a code violation. There's no arresting here. There is, you give him a summons, and it's a code violation.
But
so that's the really horrible thing that people aren't even realizing.
But it was an ATF case.
No, that's true, probably was, because it had to do with state taxes is what it had to do.
Yeah, it had to do with federal taxes on the tobacco.
Oh, no, I heard it was the city or the state taxes.
Well, that's what they
and even if and if it's the federal taxes, well, that's even worse, isn't it? Because it clearly isn't coming to the people. That's going to a private corporation or the Federal Reserve.
No. My point is, John, is they had no jurisdiction to even go out and question the man.
I agree.
There's no question that it was criminal homicide.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can't, with that kind of thing, we just can't open the mics for that. We have to put the facts and let people vote. If people feel that they don't have enough information, then they vote against it because they feel that way. Well, God bless them. That's their vote, and I understand that. And I believe in dissenting. If you want to dissent, put in a dissenting vote, fine, do it. But it was overwhelming anyway.
I know it was overwhelming, but I think a lot of the no votes have to do with people wanting to ask a question. And
well, that's
I'll just put that aside. Now, my question was, are there going to be any jobs other than coordinators? Because I'm 61 years old, and I don't want to be a coordinator, but I would like to participate you know.
Right. Well, the type jobs that are open is really called an administrator. There's four for every county, and anybody who goes through the course and wants to take that position
right,
can take
it. Right. I understand that. Okay.
It pays a very nice salary, and then there's secretarial jobs that are open. At the moment, I can't think of any other jobs that are available. You know, there will be positions for people that will become private attorney generals, and that will come into the system. Those jobs will open up there. People who feel confident enough in common law to call themselves a lawyer and work to represent people, well, there's jobs that they open up for themselves there. Everything else will be the
I was thinking more or less along the lines like investigator or something like that for if you had like special cases. I'm not looking for
right.
a full-time job. And
right.
the last thing, or two, well, I have two other things I want to say. First,
well, before you go, let me just respond to that one there because that's interesting. Yes, if
okay.
you are a private investigator and you have a specialty, okay, whereas the grand jury is trying to do an investigation and they need someone with a specialty to do some research and something to look at it in an analytical way in that professional point of view, then, of course, those kind of people would be hired by the grand jury from time to time. So I guess they could register themselves. We'll think about how that might work because that availability needs to be.
See, that's my specialty.
Yeah. Well, that should be available, and we'll think about how that could work in the near future. I haven't
okay.
given thought to that, but I'm sure okay. it's a place where we do need a listing of people that can offer services, so that when the people need that specialty, that they can get it.
Okay, got three other things. First, don't get the flu shot when you go.
Right,
to
we
doctor.
All know that.
Okay. For Gary, I'm sorry, but HP printers don't get it. Go for Brothers. They're very, very gentle on toners. I get like
okay.
thousands of copies out of one cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, I wonder if you're going to... I don't know how to put this, but... elaborate on the December 24th day that I keep hearing. It's going to get
right.
ugly.
Well, remember, a lot of this stuff is just stuff that they're doing on the 24th, and it's more principle than action. They're not going to act on that, at least not right away. But they're getting everything. They're getting their P's and Q's together in a line here. That's what they're doing. You know, look, they've been building this statutory prison for a long time. This is just another bar in the window. And when they're completed, that's when they pull the trigger on us and go. We need to do something to defuse that, and that's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. So we're very close to where we need to be, but so are they. And it's all up in timing, and it's not our timing. It's God's timing, ultimately.
It's God's timing and their timing. They're going to do whatever they have to do.
Right, but it's always God's timing anyway.
Before the new Congress comes into session, and that's what worries me. I mean, I keep on hearing, and I'm a 30-year government employee, you know, and I keep on hearing this December 24th date to be careful for.
Right. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I've heard so many things and so many dates over the years, and this I don't think is anything more than, again, just getting things into position. You know, that's what this is.
Well, the only thing I can say, John, is stay safe, and I'll support you as long as I'm alive.
Appreciate it. God bless you.
All
Thank
right.
you. Okay.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. All right, with that, we're going to end our program here because it's after midnight. I know there are some more callers. We just can't get to them all, and I'll chastise Gerard later on, make sure he moves me along quicker. But anyway, Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday, and hopefully we'll put some new stuff up. As I mentioned, we'll get the sheriff thing up there, and we'll get some other stuff out, and there should be some other meetings coming up soon. We'll give you a call when it happens, and we'll take it from there. All right, God bless everyone. See you next time. Good night.